Greetings, victims. For those of you who delight in dread, who fantasize about fear, who glorify gore, welcome. You have found the place where the horror returns. Listeners, beware. This podcast contains major plot spoilers and the foulest of language. Join us in celebrating the old and the new, the best and the worst in horror.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to The Horror Returns. I'm Lance. With me, as always, are my co-hosts, Brian and Philip, and our backup co-host, or maybe part of the regular crew, Pedro's here. What's up, man?
What's going on? This is the quickest turnaround. I was just here a couple weeks ago to bury the Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, yeah.
Before... which is not very good.
Before that, you stepped in for March Madness too, man.
I've been always around, and always appreciate being here. Thank you for having me again.
Triple threat.
All right, Brian, you think Nez might drop by the recording studio tonight?
Hopefully, he said he'll most likely be able to drop in when it's time to talk about the movies.
Oh, all man, because right. My cool of the week is wrestling related, man. I wanted him on for that.
You can hit it, dude. We'll hit it again when it gets back on.
Okay, so we'll skip my cool of the week. So I was going to say we'll skip it, and then if he comes on, I'll double back and talk about it. That way we don't talk about it twice. But I did want to bring something up. I was listening to the show from last week, and you guys were talking about how you guys are starting to get these weird kind of dudes giving some weird feedback about, I think it was a Don Mancini feedback.
Brian?
But see, to me, that correlates with the show growing, because the bigger that's that you guys true. Get, we are going to get these very, I would say, just to stay PC here, these very unique characters that are going to start coming in. And so it's good. It's good. The weirder they get, the more that you guys are expanding and growing. So it gets a little annoying, I'll be honest, but it's also representative of growth.
I have to pull back sometimes on replying to some of them, because they're just like the weirdest, like, what are you talking about comments.
Are you looking at the same post? What the fuck is going on here?
Response to the one lady that commented, no, I will not be posting where every single movie I'm talking about is where it's streaming at.
Oh, okay. We're not that kind of feature, are we?
It'd be nice, but they have services for that. That's not our function.
Yeah, but Brian, you notice that it's becoming more and more common to these people are starting to show more and more. Is that something that you've noticed?
Yeah. We kind of went viral on one post, and especially on a specific social media platforms, our audience has grown in the past couple months, so it's a good thing.
For sure.
It's just some of the comments I'm just like, huh?
Yeah, in general, once you get big enough, you just got to stop reading the comments, because
no, we gotta have feedback,
people out
man.
There from all walks of life. They're all entitled to their own opinion, and they will definitely let you know.
Yes.
I mean, I do appreciate the call out sometimes, because, like, I posted what I thought was a Taiwanese version of a movie poster, and it was a Thai.
Okay.
So, like little Thailand. Things that, I appreciate it. It was my fault for not double checking.
Yeah. Constructive criticism is always welcome. Just do it with a little respect. Don't go over here, talking shit,
Yeah, but to tell me Jennifer Tilly will never do a Child's Play movie when she's currently on a Child's Play TV series.
Yeah, that seems like a strange rant to go on.
Well, that's interesting, because to me, that just casual. To me, that's a maybe less than a casual fan, right? Somebody that maybe doesn't keep up with the news, or maybe they haven't watched the Child's Play movie in many years. Maybe they don't even know there's a show on that that's based on Child's Play. So yeah, we have to be mindful of that as the show grows, because, you know, in the beginning, yeah, the hardcores are the ones that are following you guys. But as it expands, you're going to have a lot of casuals that are not as educated. And so it is, you are going to get these weird kind of comments like that, you know?
So yeah. We'll be explaining stuff, sort of, to the best of our ability. And we're going to be all over the place tonight, so that ought to be fun.
Yes. So anyway, what's up?
You're skipping.
I'm saving my quote of the week from when.
For now?
Yeah.
All right. Brian, you want to dive in or?
Yeah.
Get anything like outstanding?
We have a short turnaround from the last time we recorded, so I was outside of WrestleMania. I only got one movie in, and that's a new Shudder feature titled, what is it, Baghead.
Okay, I've heard of it, man.
Yeah. That is probably not Baghead. A thing I would have clicked on. How did it go?
I actually liked it.
Baghead, that's the best name you can come up with?
Well, I mean, the premise of the movie is a girl inherits a pub from her estranged father, who she has not spoken to in years.
Got Cujo there.
Come on, Cujo, move over.
And
sorry, Brian.
She inherits the pub and finds out that there's a creature living in the basement, locked up, and it's a creature with a bag over its head. And she later finds out that people come there to pay to see the creature, because if you give it an item from a dead loved one, then it allows you to see that person. And it has rules to it, kind of like Talk to Me, where you only have a specific amount of time. And eventually the girl learns that abusing this power kind of leads to consequences. So it was a decent movie. I like the look of the baghead creature. The acting was pretty decent, and I've been a little down on recent Shudder features lately, and I thought this was kind of a step up from the recent ones they've been releasing. So, and I think this came out Friday, so it's a new one.
Well, that's not bad. I was expecting Baghead, the shitty slasher movie, you know?
No, it's...
that one y'all saw that time.
That's what I called Lance after he gave Swim Fan or whatever the fuck that movie. Night Swim.
Oh, God.
A 6/10. I called him Baghead.
Okay, Pedro.
The movie right. That's still in his top 10.
6/10. Okay, unbelievable.
Yeah, it's on Peacock, man. You can rewatch it as many times as you want.
Yeah, I've seen it. Brian, you gave away my clue of the week, man.
Oh, come on.
More Swim Fan?
Sure. That I did a double feature again.
No, not Swim Fan. Whatever the fuck the other one was.
I almost
the name of that fucking movie.
I almost rewatched it because my daughter hasn't seen it. And then I was like, it's on Peacock. And she was like, never mind. I don't feel like it.
not too excited.
But I was going to say, that's the thing about Shudder, man. And not just Shudder. I mean, Netflix is like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when the straight to streaming films, where they're in their infancy, like we're getting a lot of gems, right? It was always like a thrill, what's coming up next week. And then once they started just buying anything and everything, it's like it became the law of averages, man. You never know what you're gonna get. Shudder used to be very reliable when it came to like good movies, decent movies, because they were very much into like artsy films that you're not gonna get in the movie theaters. But then I think once like A24 and like, you know, we saw like IFC and Neon, once they picked up their game, you know, and with theatricals, all of a sudden Shudder distribution is like, you know, they're a little left behind, you know. So now they are going to pick it up, I think, this month, because Late Night with the Devil is going to be streaming there. And that's probably my favorite movie of the year thus far.
Ooh, so, I'm excited about that one.
Yeah. Second,
strong words.
Yes.
I've actually held off on watching that because I want to see a really good copy.
Yeah, no, for sure. It deserves it.
Yeah, well, I'll jump in.
Like you said, Like you said, Pedro, it'd probably be better to see it on the small screen, actually, right?
Yeah, because it's made for that. It's a TV show, so yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it looks like it. Well, once again, my Cool of the Week is not horror-related, and we did have a quick turnaround. So the only thing that I've watched since then is scrolling through Netflix and clicked on Baby Driver. Dude, I knew the movie was great. I forgot how great it was. It's such an awesome movie. Like, the music is great. The flow is great. There's not, like, any down moments in the whole goddamn thing. It's pretty awesome. I was very happy to have watched it. My son actually got sucked into it, and he was watching it with me.
He got sucked in. Now, was it his idea?
No, I just was scrolling through movies looking for something to watch, and I was like, eh, fuck it, Baby Driver. It's either that or scroll through movies for an hour.
It's fun to rewatch that movie and just see how everything's playing to the beat of each song.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's cool. That whole first scene is awesome. The driving scenes are amazing. The music is great. I don't know that I've ever seen the girl in anything before. The love interest.
Oh, mm-hmm. She's been in the love interest. I thought you were talking about.
Are you talking about? I think was that Lily James? I think.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. She's been around.
Cinderella.
She was great. And then the
Cinderella.
Hispanic chick was just the three-body problem.
Right. Yep.
And she was awesome and super hot. Way hotter in this one than she was in the three-body problem, but that's okay. Okay. But yeah, man, I had a really good time with it. It was just a fun, you know, watching a movie moment.
Wasn't Flea in it from Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah, Flea was in there for a little bit. Jamie Foxx is in it.
Okay.
The Punisher is there. it's a great movie. It's loaded on cast, and it totally got underrated, I think.
One of the last Kevin Spacey movies before Kevin he got Spacey?
Canceled. Yeah. Kevin Spacey.
Now, is he going to do a comeback like Mel Gibson? Oh, stop it. I wonder if he's going to do a turnaround, though, like Mel Gibson. Looks like he's starting to do. People are finally starting to forgive him, I think.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. He's been very low-key lately.
Till they find out he was at a Diddy party or something.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Baby Driver, another thing, especially now as we reflect back on these films, is like very original. You know, not a sequel, not a remake, just an original story. And we see, you know, less and less of that in the movie theaters nowadays. Yeah. So it's cool to see that, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is like going on my list of all-time classics. It's a badass movie. Doesn't get near enough credit.
Yeah.
That's all right, all I got. Baby Driver. How does it compare to Fast and Furious franchise?
Oh, fuck. Way better. Like, it almost compares to Pulp Fiction. That's how good it is.
Oh, that's strong words.
But it's Edgar Wright, and that's one of Quentin's boys, so that doesn't surprise me.
Okay, makes sense. All right.
Has Edgar Wright ever had what you guys would consider a bad movie?
I didn't care too much for that last one. I can't remember the movie. Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan.
But really? was it bad?
Nope, wasn't bad.
The World's
End. Yeah, I was pretty impressed with it. Shaun of the Dead? Dude, this guy's a fucking all-star. Yeah. The World's End, Baby Driver, Last Night in Soho.
Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, Scott Pilgrim's great. Best Colors.
Resume.
Did you like the videos in that one?
Any else?
Beck. That album.
Oh, yeah, that's
I had no idea.
That's back in the day, yeah. So anyway, no kidding, all right. He's a guy that's always guaranteed to make a decent film at least, so.
Yeah. Well, he's on my list. Badass movie.
Too bad Too bad he didn't stick with Marvel, right, Philip?
You know what? I'm kind of out on Marvel.
Oh, no. Well, maybe Wolverine can pull you back in.
Oh, well, yeah. Lance, no, you were reading that book, Deadpool. Right?
Huh? Yeah, I finished it. I read it right after you talked about it.
Oh, man, I love that book. I finished it, too. Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good book.
You see the drama behind why he left Ant-Man, you know? It's just he wanted to do it his way, yeah. They wanted to do it their way, and he peaced out.
Creative differences. Philip, it's a book about the MCU, and it's okay. Like it's a nonfiction book, but it's kind of it goes in pretty strict order. I mean, it kind of starts with the before the MCU movies, like other attempts at Marvel movies and things like that, and then it kind of starts with Iron Man and goes from there. The Hulk stuff was kind of weird to me, Pedro, that nobody could get along with. Who was it? Edward Norton pissed everybody off. Well, trying to call the shots.
I would dare say it's the opposite. He couldn't get along with anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Edward Norton, like, everybody I've ever heard talk about, like, a personal relationship with Edward Norton does not particularly like him.
Yeah, and they made fun of that in Glass Onion a little bit. They kind of played with that. All right,
They should have tried to get him for this latest Deadpool movie as a cameo and have him in one of those alternate universes.
He may be in there.
I know. From what I understand, everybody and their mother is going to be in this film, so we'll see.
Okay. All right, well, I'm gonna throw out my clue of the week so we get down to brass tacks. I talked about it a little bit, I think, last week, guys, but I hadn't finished it. The Apple Plus TV show, The Big Door Prize. Have you heard of it, Pedro?
No, I have not. What's that all about?
It's weird, dude. It's super surreal. This you're familiar with Chris O'Dowd, the actor that plays a lot of. He was in who was it that pointed out he was in the IT Crowd? I think Darren was telling me about that. But, okay, he's an Irish actor.
A lot of stuff, yeah.
He does a lot of comedy, right?
He does a lot of comedy. This one's kind of more of a. It's real hard to describe, Brian. It's like a little bit of comedy, a lot of surrealism, kind of sci-fi, kind of not sci-fi. It's interesting. I mean, the premise sounds like it'd be a horrible show. That's why I actually didn't watch it, because at first the Big Door Prize, yeah, I thought, okay, this could be a.
It actually does.
It sounds like a game show. Well, let me give you the premise, all right, and then you just kind of take it from there. I will say this: I don't think Apple TV Plus has ever put out a really, really bad show. They've put out, you know, quite a few that I'm a real big fan of, and a couple that are all right. This one's kind of like the all right, but like Brian said, we haven't had much time. I've been busy with my wife's birthday, so we just finished this up. All right, so it's a small town, right? You got all these weird, quirky characters, and this it's like the general store / hardware store / grocery store. And this machine shows up in there. It looks like a video game. And everybody sits at the machine, and it spits out a card that says one word that's like supposed to be your potential future. So the one guy that runs the store, he always wanted to be a magician when he was a kid, and it spat out magician. And so he's doing magic shows and stuff like that. And then there's somebody that picks up a card, and it spits out liar. And then you get another person that gets a card that says, you know, hero. Just like one word. And then each episode, you get one character's story. And then toward the end, they kind of start, I guess, weaving the characters together. And then the end of the second, or the end of the first season, I mean, I think the second season starts April 24th, so a couple weeks away. But the ending is one of those kind of cliffhanger, like, what does that mean? So that doesn't sound like much, does it, guys?
I think I'm going to be skipping this one, Lance. I'll be honest with you.
Chris O'Dowd carries it. If you get bored, give it a try. If you don't like the first episode, you won't like the series. How about that?
I think I won't be renewing my Apple TV Plus.
Servant's over. So you've seen that.
I need to finish Servant, though. I'm going to finish it.
Brian, have you watched it?
Yeah, I've seen the first episode of season one.
That's all you need to hear. Philip, save me, man.
I still haven't finished season one. I got through six or seven episodes, I think. It wasn't out. I need to binge it sometimes. Like there's too much shit to watch when they do that week to week thing. I forget about it.
Yes, true. They are bad about that. Unlike Netflix,
I finished the first season, so.
And you're intrigued enough to continue, it sounds like.
Yeah, but I finished the first season when it first ended, which was like 7 years ago. So
it's been a while, yeah.
Because it ran about six seasons, right?
Yes, it did. Yeah, and they wrapped it up. They wrapped it up.
Wait, what did?
Servant.
Is it that old?
Yeah.
No fucking way, man.
It's been out as time long flies, as we've been doing this show.
That's right.
I remember this is a trip. I remember when this show, The Horror Returns, first started, right? Many years around the same time. One of you guys was like, M. Night Shyamalan has his new show called The Servant.
Yeah.
And he says he's got five seasons worth of story. And you guys couldn't believe it. You guys like, how the fuck is he gonna do? Because you know, at that time he had the bad rep of not really delivering, not really hitting the landing in his films. And here we are all these years later, and he finished it.
Just like that, huh?
And I can't believe it's been going on for that long. It seems like it was just a year or two ago.
Didn't his daughter help him write that?
Something like that, yeah, something like that.
Maybe she's the key to him finishing writing a story.
She's like, Dad, that ending sucks. We need to fix it.
Sucked. Dad, you've lost a step, right?
All these Nepo babies, you know, all these filmmakers always end up promoting their kids. And, you know, Robert Rodriguez, his entire workforce consists of all his kids just doing work for him over and over. Rocket and Rebel. He's one of those guys that named them after the letter R. All his kids are named like Rocket, Rebel, and there's another one. It's weird.
Ricochet.
Now, that's funny.
They call him Reboot.
All right. Reboot. There you go. Little reboot. All right. Y'all ready to move on?
Let's go.
Cool of the week kind of fizzled. So maybe we can get show signs of life again with Brian's news stories. What's going on this week, Brian?
Well, we'll continue with TV talk with the world that keeps pulling you back in, Lance. The Walking Dead. Dead City Season 2. Kim Copes joins the season as this might be a step for him to play a gang member.
Oh, I love that guy. So.
One of the original Sons of Anarchy, Pedro.
Yep. I did finish did any of you guys finish The Ones Who Live?
I've never watched an episode of any of the spin-off
shows. Oh my god, you guys are really off the fucking.
I'm way behind. I'm way behind.
My wife is rewatching all of the Walking Dead seasons right now, and so that's that's ever on.
See,
TV.
I started to do that a couple months ago because I was gonna go through by order.
Yeah.
And then get to the spinoff shows, and then I got halfway through season one, and I was like, I don't want to do this shit all over again.
Yeah. Well, and season one and two were pretty awesome. And then, like, season three and on, it just sort of rolls downhill.
Well, season one and two, that was Frank Darabont, right?
Yeah. But season two is the one that gets criticized for being too boring. Because remember, they look for that little girl for, like, half the season. And she was she was in the fucking barn the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's better than being stuck in the prison with the same goddamn setting the whole season. That shit.
I forgot about the barn.
Yes.
Yeah, it's you in the barn, Brian.
But season 3, 4, and 5 is when it was in its prime. Like, that's when everybody was talking about it.
You know, that's right when Negan showed up and ruined everything, huh?
Yeah, he's the one that took it down. But I did see the Ones Who Lived. I enjoyed it for what it was. And, you know, I don't like to use that term. Everybody knows how much I hate when people say enjoyed it for what it was. But I think it was definitely an improvement from all the bullshit that it became. And they really tried. And I know that the actor that plays Rick, he had a lot of input on this one. So it made sense from where the story goes. Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun show, and it's about Rick, so it's like it takes you back to like the main character. Six episodes, you know, it's not too much of an investment. Michonne's in there. The lead heel or the lead bad guy is the guy that he played John Locke in Lost. He's pretty good in this.
Yeah, I love that actor, man.
Yeah, he's pretty good. The stepfather, right? The original stepfather.
Mm-hmm. That's right. With the tie.
Terry, what was it? Terry, somewhere other.
Not Terry Gilliam.
Terry O'Quinn. Terry O'Quinn.
Terry O'Quinn. There you go.
So he's pretty good. So it was fun. It was fun. I'm not gonna spoil it. Just I imagine one of these days, one of these years from now, you guys are gonna go back and check it out, just because that's how things usually play out. And so yeah, I recommend it. The Ones Who Live, The Walking Dead. That's my half of my cool of the week.
And you don't have to watch the other series to know what's going on either, right? Like you can just kind of pick up where the regular show left off.
Yeah, because it's Rick's story. So essentially it's from the time that Rick blew up on the bridge and then...
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's the time from when he blew up on the bridge and then it's his story going forward. So it's the sequel to his story.
Yeah. Oh, so this was probably what was originally going to be the movie then.
Yeah, that's what I think it was, yeah.
All right, makes sense. That's cool. So it's contained into six episodes and that's it, huh? I like that.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, I mean, they could always make a second season, but the ending does have a finality to it, so I don't know if they're going to go back and make another one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there is what we could consider like a finale to this season and the series in general. So we'll see.
Well, you always got season two of Daryl Dixon, which is going to be about Carol.
Yes.
There you go. Okay. Well, Philip, we might have to get on that again, man.
Yeah, maybe. I lost interest in Daryl, even though he's my favorite guy.
Oh, no.
Those Negan years didn't do him any favors. He's just the worst in those years.
Yeah.
He's wearing a potato sack for half of a season in one. I don't know. It's a big mess. Do you guys remember? He has a potato sack.
I do. I do remember that, man.
Well, now he's in France.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Got some 28 years later news. Jodie Comer and Charlie Hunnam are in talks to star in the movie.
Okay. All right. Jax. Okay, good.
Yeah. American accent or British accent?
British
accent. First two were set in Britain, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I guess British accent it is.
There's my answer.
But there was a movie where all the cast were British, but Charlie Hunnam did an American accent. It was weird.
Was that the Guillermo del Toro movie?
Crimson Peak? Didn't he do an American accent?
Oh, okay. That's right. That is the one. Yeah.
No, he doesn't do American accents. He does non-British accent. There's a difference.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. That guy has like the worst fucking American accent in the history of American accents.
Yeah. Generic non-British accent.
Let's see, Callie Reyes from True Detective Night Country and Annabelle Wallace from Malignant. They joined a cast of Amazon MGM Studios sci-fi thriller Mercy, who already cast Rebecca Ferguson and Chris Pratt.
Wow, they little money to spend there, it sounds like.
Okay.
It's Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, I hadn't seen Chris Pratt do anything for a while, so that'll work.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of like voiceover stuff, voice acting stuff.
Oh, hey, yeah, I guess he was in the Mario movie.
He's doing Garfield.
Oh,
of course. He's doing a second. Of course he's doing he's doing a prequel season to that show you were talking about, Phil, on Amazon.
Which one?
Where he's like doesn't have his memory or whatever.
Oh, with the where he was like a Special Forces guy or whatever?
Yeah, they're doing a prequel season.
Oh, okay. I'm down with that. That was a good show. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it, but it was good.
So he's doing that in Garfield.
It was one of those Tom Clancy kind of things.
To nobody's surprise, Courtney Cox is in talks to return for Scream 7.
I don't know why, but okay. I mean, I don't know what she contributes to any of these films.
They're going to make her face the mask before too long. That was fucked up. I'm sorry.
She needs to end up being the killer. That's the only way all these fucking appearances are going to make sense to me. Eventually, because if you see these films, like, she's so pigeonholed into these films.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
All right. I'm going to butcher this name. Wanumi Mosaku. She was in Loki both seasons. She was the agent that ended up helping Loki and Owen Wilson's character, the black lady. Okay.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, she has joined the cast of Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan's untitled vampire movie, which they released some of the plot. It would be vampires going up against the KKK.
What the?
Oh, of course
well.
It is.
Oh, man.
And Jack O'Connell is in talks to play the villain. The only thing I know him from was that Angelina Jolie movie that she directed, Unbreakable.
So he's going to be the leader of the KKK or what?
Yeah, I think this is set back in the day.
Sounds like they got some star power behind this one.
But they have not said if Michael B. Jordan is in the movie. Just keep saying Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan's like he's part of the production.
Yeah, like he produced it. Yeah, probably.
And
yeah, go ahead. Do we know if Ryan Coogler is going to even direct it, or is he also just producing it?
Maybe I skimmed over it, but everything I've read, it just keeps saying Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan are working on this project together. So maybe he's directing. I know Michael B. Jordan is recently directed with Creed 3.
Yeah. He's got some experience. KKK versus vampires, huh? All right, I'm ready for that.
And we're all big fans of Samara Weaving.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, I know I am.
And we all pretty much like Ready or Not.
Of course.
Yes, we do.
Ready or Not 2 is officially in development, but Radio Silence is not directing.
They've stayed Radio Silent, huh?
Adam Robitaille. Who did the Escape from movies.
Oh, no. What the hell?
Isn't she the only one that survived?
Yeah, she's the only one. Well, of course.
Yeah, it's the bride. She was the bride. Yeah. So.
Samara Weaving is set to return, though.
How do you do a sequel? Doesn't matter who's the only one left.
So is she going to be married to another douchebag with a crazy family? Is that what we're looking at here?
She's got really bad luck. Really bad taste in men.
Another bad choice, huh?
Who knows? Yeah. I'll be there, though, because it's, Samara Weaving, I'm there.
Yeah.
Just need to get Sydney Sweeney in their weather and then recover.
She could be reciting the alphabet. And I'll be there. So
I don't remember a bad movie that she's done. So
You haven't seen the new rom-com yet. Oh, you're talking about Samara.
Yeah, Samara Weaving.
Oh, okay.
So
I was about to say Sydney Sweeney. I can name a couple of.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you? Just like that, huh?
But Samara Weaving has done some really good movies. And, sometimes they're not even really that great of movies, and she just makes them good. So
I can see that.
We'll see how it goes.
Even, Three Billboards, where she shows up for literally one 33-second scene.
Was she in that movie? I forgot about that.
Yeah. Did you blink? Because you might have missed her.
Yeah, well, she's, barely in it. Yeah. But that's still a great movie, though. I love that movie.
Oh, for sure.
All right, that's the news.
All right, Pedro, you ready to go down to the trailer park?
Yep, let's do it. I'm excited for this one.
All right, the big, the small, and the very, very weird XXX. What What's this week, Brian?
We finally got the Maxine trailer from A24. Give you guys a quick synopsis. In 1980s Hollywood, adult film star and aspiring actress Maxine Minx finally gets her big break. However, as a mysterious killer stalks the starlets of Los Angeles, a trail of blood threatens to reveal her sinister past. This is starring, of course, Mia Goth, Elizabeth Debicki, Moses Sumney, Michelle Monaghan, Bobby Cannavale, Lily Collins, Halsey, Giancarlo Esposito, and Kevin Bacon. And this is
really okay.
Kevin Bacon. Now,
they have a little money behind this one, don't they?
Yeah. I'd say.
Written and directed by Ty West. All right. You
know, I was going to say, this Giancarlo guy, he's everywhere. And I don't blame him, right? We're happy for him. You know, all these actors, they have a limited window to make real money. So he's just taking advantage. Because every time I turn on the TV, he's got a new TV show. He's a guest star on a TV show. He's got a new movie. I mean, he's juicing it for all it's worth. So good for him.
He's got that new show that's kind of like Baby Driver without the music. Like Parrish.
Yes, it's like, I think it's on Prime, right?
Yeah, it's on Prime. It might be a
Parrish.
Yeah, he's like a transporter, like Louisiana type driver.
Oh.
So now they're trying to make him into an action star.
Okay. It might not work. Well, you never know.
He's just cashing in. That's all he's doing. Don't give a fuck.
Hey, he's a good actor, man. I like
blame him.
I'm excited for this one. I'm getting like a kind of like a Tarantino-ish changing of history vibe with this film. I don't know if that's exactly where it's going to go. But it's like, and they're saying The Night Stalker in 1986, which The Night Stalker here in L.A. was one Richard Ramirez. But they never say that name in the movie. They just say The Night Stalker. So I don't know if they create... Yeah, I don't know if they created another Night Stalker for this film or if it's Richard Ramirez, because the real Night Stalker didn't go after young ladies. He actually went after old ladies, like old, you know, 70-year-old women.
Easier to catch.
It gave me the impression that Maxine is the Night Stalker.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, and then there's another like plot of her kind of getting blackmailed, because I don't know, they found a tape. And somebody plays it for her, and she freaks out a little bit. So I don't know if somebody found a tape of the ranch or whatever from X. I don't know. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Because I think from what I got from the trailer, Kevin Bacon's character is a private investigator that was hired to find her.
Yes.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say, when it comes to the Night Stalker, the real one, he was actually caught. Like in my neighborhood, he was actually caught in a neighborhood in it's called Boyle Heights, and he was probably about, I don't know, I want to say maybe about 4 or 5 houses down from where I was living at the time. Holy shit. It was a big fucking deal. Yeah, they caught him. Okay. They caught him there. The neighbors came out and they dropped him in the middle of the street. They called the cops, and that's how he got caught. I mean, it was a thing here in LA in 1986. Like, people were scared because this motherfucker was opening doors, going in through windows, and he was raping and killing old ladies. He got a few of them before they actually caught him. So that was interesting, and it was always a thing. I'll never forget it. I mean, the entire neighborhood was on alert. And it was the neighborhood that caught him, not the cops. So that was something weird.
What would possess you to want to rape old ladies?
Well, he was a Satanist. I mean,
that explains it.
That explains it, right? Segging right into our main features for tonight.
Yeah, rolls right into our theme.
But I, what I'm trying to say is that obviously this guy was mentally disturbed. So, somebody said that he didn't shower for like months on end, and he like in the courthouse he reeked, and I don't know. It was all these weird stories coming out, but he ended up getting a lot of like followers, as these guys tend to do, right, in prison. I think he found love in prison, and now with another inmate, like, with an actual, you know, female from that he met, or that started writing letters to him. So there's a population of people out there that are attracted to these fucking sick fucks. So So that's my Richard Ramirez story. Interesting.
Huh. There you go.
What'd you think?
It's a trip.
No, I think it looks great, man. Like, this may be the best out of the three. To me, it's got that 80s vibe going to it. It looks like Mia Goth at her best. Despite the controversies, but I'm excited about it for sure. I'm hoping that it's sort of a standalone movie where you don't have to know everything that happened in the others.
Well, I mean, if that tape or whatever it is that they're trying to, I mean, and again, we're trying to piece together from a 2-minute trailer. It seems right. Like, yeah, that X does come back to play a part in this film, but it's not something that you have to watch, you know, because X right. is not even really about her. It's mostly about Pearl, if you know, in a lot of ways. So, okay. So I think it's more like, yeah, you could just watch this standalone. And then also, it's also one of those like meta nerdy films. That leaves a lot of like little Easter eggs for the hardcore like horror fanatics, because they're in a video store and they're bringing up all these horror movies in the trailer. So it's gonna be one of those as well, like kind of like a Scream film kind of vibe. I'm excited, and Ty West is a big fan of this stuff, so he's another guy that I'm not a fan of all his films. I think he tends to like be very methodical in some of his films, and they really take forever to get going. But I don't think he's made a bad film. Even the Western that he made, I think it's called A History of Violence. Even that one, I think that's what it's called. Even that one was a fun film. So yeah, he knows how to make movies. Yeah. He knows how to make movies, and I'm looking forward to this one. He said it was very like giallo-ish. So we'll see. I could see by the color patterns and the neon shit that, you know, I do get that vibe. And then there's a quick cut scene of a guy like wearing like the gloves and all that, like very like a giallo killer would wear. So we'll see. We'll see, but I'm excited for it. I don't think it gave a release date, though, but I'm hearing September-ish, so we'll see if they stick to that date.
Oh, we got a release date of July 5th.
Oh, even better. Oh,
wow.
Summertime.
Now, Pedro, do you think he's able to connect all the movies? Like, we'll see connections to Pearl in this one?
I mean, you could have something like Kevin Bacon be like... But see, here's the problem with that, is that Pearl, the character... doesn't have any connection to Maxine other than whatever happened at the barn. I mean, right. Yeah, there's ways to
Pearl
do it.
Pearl was from like the 50s or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
40s or something.
I think it's confusing because it's the same actress playing all these fucking characters. That's why.
Yeah.
And then I mean, she's a very beautiful woman. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that she has all her freckles like on one side of her face. And then on the other side, she has, like, no freckles whatsoever. It always kind of throws me off a little bit. But she's a gorgeous woman. I mean,
she's a weird-looking chick for,
her
like,
lack of
to be real.
Yeah, very unique.
That's she's always unique gotten woman. Brian the lack of eyebrows.
Yes.
I never noticed until I think it was my wife that she came to watch X with me, and she just kept saying, does she have eyebrows? And then I just couldn't stop looking.
But it's like... But it's I feel like it's her natural eyebrows that are just not there.
Yeah, which yeah, is weird. She looks the same in every film, so it's not it's not for the character for sure.
Yeah.
So no, I'll be there for sure. I'm very. This is one of the ones that I've been looking forward to the most all year. So I'm definitely gonna be there July 5th.
Cool. What you think, Lance?
Well, it's definitely polished, right? I mean, this is probably Ty West's most polished-looking film, at least if you go off the trailer. But Pedro, what you started talking about, dude, that's exactly right. Like, his thing was always, like, his gimmick, if you want to call it that, was always the slow burn, you know? So, you know, these last couple of movies he's done, they don't really have that slow burn anymore. Stuff kind of starts happening earlier on, so I'm curious to see what he does with this one. I know it's going to be good. We all know it's going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be great, but I want it to be great, you know, so we'll see how it plays out. I think we're all going to be there opening night.
Yeah, I'm contemplating when, because we are going to review it for the show, and I know we did like a quick little bonus episode, but we never did Pearl. I'm wondering if we should do all three movies.
Oh, that man!
Hey, you're the boss. You're the scheduler, man.
I'm gonna throw it out there right now. Pearl right now is my favorite over X. I think it was a better movie.
Mm.
And so we'll see how this one falls.
Maybe not on the rewatch, Philip. You might see new things.
I doubt it, man. I think Pearl was legitimately a decent movie, and then X was maybe a little much. Although it definitely had its good moments.
Are they gonna have a scene with an alligator going down the streets of LA or something?
I don't know. They're gonna be able to
bring it full circle.
Keep that tradition. The same alligator. Right. It went through the sewers. Don't you know they could go through sewers? We know that already. So
yeah.
How long do alligators live?
It migrated to the sewer system and it ended up in LA in a pool somewhere.
And Kevin alligators. They're coming out of the pools.
In Kevin Bacon's pool. And then there's going to be a scene in the movie where Maxine sees the alligator in a pool.
Yes.
Hundreds of miles away from the previous alligator, but she's going to go, right. She's going to know that's the alligator.
Goddamn lizard people are following.
I can't wait.
But I was going to say, X, I think the reason why X is so beloved, first of all, I really like that movie. Mm-hmm. But it's also very slow. What happens with that movie and what Ty West did a great job is that the dialogue in that movie is really, really good. And so you it keeps you engaged even when nothing is happening, but it doesn't really take it to the next level into late in the third act where the shit really hits the fan. But yeah, the first couple of acts are just very slow and, you know, Pearl's killing people in a very slow way. And so I would say that's still one of his slower movies. And then with Pearl, it's very much a character piece. So that one, I think that the performance is amazing, which is why we're
so
captivated by it. And also the dialogue is very good, you know. So and then it captures like the descent into madness in a very realistic way, you know, because I know a lot of girls like that. Trust me. And that's why it stayed with me. I'm like, holy shit, this guy, he did a good job with this research. I think Ty West is still, and he said it on interviews. He's like, you know, you just want to build and build and build and build and then give the payoff at the end, you know. So I know that's one of his criticisms. I've gotten used to it, and I really enjoy all his films, even though they do tend to be very slow.
All right. And that is our only trailer.
All right. Sorry if there's background noise. There's smoothies being made. But we'll roll into listener feedback. This week, we shine the podcast spotlight on the VHS Doom podcast. Join hosts Dylan and Mikey every week in the VHS Doom rental store as they deep dive into horror and cult classics. They are joined by a wild cast of characters, from a half-demon hitman and part-time worker named Balthazar.
Sounds like a Clive Barker character.
Their full-time deadite former boss, Huge Anus. Ah, get it. Scabby Man, the British ghost dandy man, the killer nana named Ice Pick, the naughty backroom video attendant Pamela Voorhees, and so many more. That sounds fun. Wow. The VHS Doom podcast. Hey, I'll do it for their deadite former boss, Hugh Janus. regarding Abigail, Marcus Will Turner posted a new trailer in the group. A bunch of kidnappers soon discover that children can be just as monstrous in the trailer for the next horror yarn.
And Gus Spring shows up again in this one.
Yes, he does. I mean, this guy's everywhere. He's not in Civil War, is he?
As the mastermind. I don't know. He may be.
But Fat Damon is. And Fat Damon's another guy that shows up everywhere.
Right.
They should have like a Fat Damon versus Matt Damon movie, like Godzilla X Kong or whatever. Right? It's like the good Kong versus the knockoff Kong.
It's going to be a good next couple of weeks for films because we have Civil War, which I'm really looking forward to this weekend. And then I think Abigail's the following week. So it's two movies that I'm looking forward to.
Fat Damon, Civil War.
There you go.
Fat Damon.
What his wife? What's her name? Kristen Dunst.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Oh yeah. I don't know how that happened, but okay. regarding Interview with the Vampire series, Adrian Garcia says, okay, at first I was angry, as every other fan of the books, but the show is really good, even with the changes, time, character, storyline, etc. It manages to keep the souls of the character. The chemistry we don't get in the movie between Louis and Lestat is definitely in this show.
Okay. Louis is the aforementioned Kristen Dunst, right? The little girl? Is that Louis or?
Brad Pitt.
Oh, Brad Pitt. Okay, okay. I haven't seen that movie in a long
time. That was Claudia from the.
Yeah,
from
the Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise.
Yes. And I didn't know there was a lot of like negative feedback from like the real fans. Because I know the TV show got a lot of good reviews. I know Lance was a big fan.
I'm enjoying it.
But yeah. The nerds. They had issues.
My mom is a fucking Anne Rice nerd, dude. She'd probably love this show. John Buchanan says, at least he put the disclaimer in the storyline that would change, and that's why it's completely different than the original interview tapes. Everyone is bent because that blackwashed the characters. But no one is bringing up that Claudia is a completely different character with a completely different origin and storyline.
Nerds!
Nerds.
Regarding The Craft, Lindsay Jane says, great film, watched it last week, and it still has me hooked. It is great.
That is original. A great film. I don't know about the remake, though.
I never watched the remake. I heard it was terrible.
You didn't miss much. Yeah, Brian loved horrible. It. Did you give it a 9 out of 10, Brian?
Oh, yeah, especially when I found out the cameo that was in it, that they shoehorned in it, shot it up to a 9.
All right.
The same as the Night Swim score for Lance, so that was
there
good.
You go.
Yeah.
Stop. Oh, boy, I'm not going to live this one down for a while.
The only movie he's given a 9 this year.
Not a 9. I gave it a 6.
Oh, okay.
That Lance, your sixes are like our nines.
Maybe Jimi Hendrix had it right. If a six turned out to be a 9, I wouldn't mind.
That's it for listener feedback this week. Our show intro and new logos come from Steve Carlton from the Geeks. Be on the lookout for some more great stuff from him. And our original skull artwork comes from Natsulani. Check her out on Instagram. And if you'd like to help us out, please consider becoming a Patreon patron. We'll let you pick the movies for a future show at any amount. And for $5 or more a month, also pick a commentary for a future bonus show, which will be awesome. And you can be involved. Just give us some money. On to our featured attractions. It's Damien week as we check out The Omen and then go back to the first Omen. Or, you know what I mean.
it gets confusing. It gets really confusing.
Well, because the first Omen is like a prequel.
Yeah, that's why it's the first Omen. It's not confusing.
But
okay.
It's just all confusing right. In the format in which we're trying to present it. That's why it's right. Confusing.
So there we'll start with the original Omen, which came out in 1976. Have we done this movie already?
Yeah. Probably. How's that spreadsheet?
Yes. Yes, probably.
For generations, the Thorns have been a family of tremendous wealth, position, and power. The perfect marriage of Ambassador Robert Thorne and his wife, Catherine, was fulfilled by the birth of their son, Damien. And then, when the child was 5 years old, something terrible happened. And then it happened again. Was it an accident? Was it murder? Was it a coincidence? Or was it an omen?
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
20th Century Fox, presents a film of psychological suspense.
Okay. Well, anyway, mysterious deaths surround an American ambassador. Could the child he is raising actually be the Antichrist, the devil's yes. own son? Director is Richard Donner, also known for Superman and the Goonies. Writer is David, which are totally not what this movie is. Writers are David Seltzer, also known for Bird on a Wire and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Wow.
Yeah, well, they're going
all over the place.
Harvey Stevens as Damien was largely chosen for this role for the way that he attacked Richard Donner during auditions. Donner asked all the little boys to come at him as if they were attacking Catherine Thorne during the church wedding scene. Stevens screamed and clawed at Donner's face and kicked him in the groin during the act. Donner whipped the kid off, ordered the kid's blonde hair dyed black, and cast him as Damien.
That's how you get away. You
get arrested for that nowadays.
That's the fucking thing right there. We got to get that kid.
If Kevin Spacey had been doing the casting, it would have been a different story.
I imagine that kid doing that smile he did at the end of the movie when he got the role.
Yes.
He does seem a little off, doesn't he? One of the reasons why Gregory Peck accepted the role of the tortured father conflicted with the guilt was because he hadn't been around when his son Jonathan committed suicide in 1975. So, in that way, you look back down. All right. The original Omen. Pedro, you want to start us off?
Yeah. I really like this movie. It's a classic. It came out in the 70s. During the beginning of what was known as the Satanic Panic, which was a real thing here in the United States, bled into the 80s a little bit. But it's very the ambience, the atmosphere is really the star of this film, right? Because just the way it was filmed, the performances are all great. There's all, you know, these 70s films, and there's a lot of them, right? They all have this aesthetic of like they all look really creepy. And I don't know if it's film stock or the performances, but there's
like
something.
Gritty.
Yeah. And so this film captures that perfectly. And you get the sense of dread throughout the entire film. And that's like juxtaposed, whatever, hard word for Latino, by the little kid, right? Who's so like, in the beginning anyway, he's very innocent. You see the malevolence starting to show up later on as the movie goes along, but it's very subtle. It's nothing up until the end when he does the creepy smile at the end. Everything is very subtle with this kid. So I thought everything was spot on. I thought the story was great. It's like it peels right like an onion, like we've talked about in the past. It's giving you little bits of information along with Robert Thorne's character. You're finding out what's going on along with him. I don't know about Damien Thorne, though. That's a little too much on the nose right there for me. Come on. Like, The Antichrist is gonna be, that's too much of a perfect name for him. right? It's like, come on. Like, why wasn't he called like Steven Jackson or something, you know?
name is Big Dick McGraw.
And I am the Antichrist. There are some retcons that we're gonna get to. The prequel did change some stuff. We'll get to it in the prequel when we talk about the prequel. But just the way that they describe how he was conceived, like, it's pretty disturbing with the jackal. And so you do find a couple of characters that show up in the prequel that we'll get to. But to me, like, we talk about the atmosphere, we talk about the performances, all great, but the kills in this movie are so fucking morbid and dark. Like,
yes,
they're brutal. The ambulance scene with Catherine Thorne, her death when she flies out of the window into an ambulance, the decapitation scene with David Warner.
Yeah.
All these scenes are like so fucking, even when the wife gets hurt, when she falls off the whatever, she's doing something to her little plants and then she falls over.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's even brutal. Those are hardcore scenes.
From the get-go with the hanging scene.
Yeah. The hanging scene. Was they, how weird is it that they try to recreate that in the prequel and it's not as, It's not as impactful because you see a lot of CGI bullshit.
CGI,
you know?
Fire.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, just the ending, it has a very dark ending. It's not a happy ending whatsoever. And then it leads it to part two. Part two is also very dark. It's not as good as the first one, but it's also, the kills are also kind of wild in that film as well. I love this film. I've seen it a bunch of times. I watched it again today with no problem. You know, usually a film that I've seen this much, I would be like, yeah, I know it by memory. I'll just recap it. But I wanted to see it again. Just good film. Now, I will say a couple of things. First of all, let's talk about David Warner's haircut. I know it wasn't around in the 70s, okay? But there is no way that was an acceptable haircut even back then. This man,
he was
like,
British, though. You got to give him a pass.
It was like a perfect helmet. You know what I thought? I thought he was wearing one of those. You know that gimmick? You know that gimmick that Magneto wears so that Professor Xavier doesn't get in his head? I thought he was wearing one of those. Like, I was like, what the fuck is going on with David Warner's hair?
Yeah, dude, that's 70s hair.
Oh, yeah, man. You remember that, Lance. That's how it was back then.
Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday, man.
Yeah.
Just like WrestleMania was. Well, no, WrestleMania wasn't yesterday, was it? It's a couple of days ago. You guys are still probably high as kites over that. But we'll get to that later. Sorry. What's up, Naz?
Yeah, what's up? That hairstyles, it was wild in the 70s. I remember.
Yeah, but David Warner's hairstyle in this film is like it's like they literally put a bow in his head and just cut off of it. Like, it's so perfect. That's what makes it so disturbing.
They gave him a Dumb and Dumber.
And then also another thing that I envy. In the beginning, they got this scene where the little kid Damien Thorne is having his little party, and I'm reminded of how awesome the those little toys were from back in the day before people started freaking out and started making them like all like safe and stuff. Because there was this like little what do you call it, like he was like a little cart with like these steel beams, completely unsafe by the way, but it looks so fucking awesome, and they're just yanking him and he's having the time of his life. They don't have that anymore because all these parents get so worried about their kids hurting themselves, but that was pretty cool. Anyways, I love this movie. 8 out of 10.
Nez, you want to talk about the first Omen?
Yeah, did everyone go already?
Talking about the Omen.
Yeah, I don't know. This was the first one, original 76.
The original.
This movie's hella good. The first time I seen this was it was on TV. when the first time it aired on TV after it did its run in the theater. So
that pisses people off, I'll bet.
I saw the cut up version. I didn't see the actual version until it came on Showtime or HBO, whatever those ones were back then, at the beginning stages of pay cable. So that's when I first finally saw it. But from what I remember watching it on TV, of course they show you what they could. We didn't really see the decapitation. We didn't see that the nun fall and jerk and crash through the window. It was like she fell, and then we just kind of they showed her really fast hanging there.
So they cut out all the really good scenes.
Yeah, they cut all that out. So, but I just remember.
But they didn't cut off David Warner's haircut. I'll tell you that right now. And that's probably the most disturbing thing of the entire film.
So I've seen it that way. I've seen this in the theater a few times when they bring them back, and I've always loved this film. I had it on VHS, DVD, and I have the box set of all of them. I didn't really care for the remake. It was all right, but this one, it was awesome. I loved it. I mean, the little kid, I don't even know if he went on to do anything else, but I thought everybody was in it. David Warner, he's awesome.
Probably not. It sounds like he had some mental problems.
he's evil from Time Bandits. And Gregory Peck, you can't go wrong with him. Was it Billy Whitelaw, Mrs. Baylock? She still scares me watching this film. I thought she was awesome. Lee Remick, she's good, but she got on my nerves at times. But this film was awesome. The Jerry Goldsmith's score, amazing. All the cinematography, awesome. Of course, practical effects, can't beat the 70s, and when it was in the all or nothing days, And I liked what was going on. And if you do all the back lore of what happened when they were filming this with the terrorist attack and Gregory Peck's almost his the plane he was supposed to get on crashed and all this, it was all kinds of stuff going on into the film before they were making it and as they were making it. Watch Cursed Films. They go into some of that on a Shudder. But the film, it's an amazing film. I love this one. I do love the second one a little bit more. The Damien, The Omen 2. Final Conflict. I liked what was happening until the end. And I was like, really? Because I just rewatched all three of them.
And oh, I was, Sam Neill.
Yeah. I mean, he's always Damien in my eyes. Everyone thinks he's whatever he is in Jurassic Park. Now he's Damien. But this one, the one that started it off, seeing it at such a young age, I was always fascinated with it. And then when I finally got to see the rated R version on cable and just loving it. And I've seen this movie a billion times. If you haven't seen it, there's a free copy on YouTube, the whole movie. So it's pretty clear. So definitely check it out. That's where I watched it yesterday. Or if you have Hulu.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
All of them are on there. So I think the first four films and then the remake is all on Hulu. So definitely check it out. But yeah, this movie is awesome.
If you've seen The Omen, what are you doing listening to us? Go watch it right now.
Yeah, but this one, the first one.
And then listen to us talk about it the first time.
This movie's hella good. I love it.
All right. Brian, you want to jump in?
Yeah, real quick. The kid went on to do a TV movie 4 years later, and then he was in the Omen remake as a tabloid reporter. He had a cameo.
Wow. They threw him a bone.
Yeah. Probably had issues growing up like they all do after a while.
I would imagine, yeah. Well,
you get into the Hollywood scene as a kid. We saw what happened with that Nickelodeon thing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Amongst other
things. Yeah, you were talking all about that, Naz, last week.
Oh, my God. Someone would have had to die. I don't care.
For real.
Yeah, everything that's been said so far, I 100% agree. This is one of those classics that when you put it on, you just there's some classics when you put it on, it's just you can have it in the background playing. This one is one of those ones where you have to sit down and watch.
Yeah.
Everything is iconic from the performances. The score was one of those scores as a kid when I heard it, just sent chills down and through my body every time I heard it. It scared me as a kid.
It's creepy, that Latin stuff.
Yeah, the kills are iconic because you can, whenever you see like compilations of best horror kills, there's multiple kills from this movie that always pop up in those compilations because it's like a pick and choose which one you think is the best because, you know, they're all good. I like the aspect with the dogs, the little hounds of hell that was sent to communicate with the different followers. I always love that aspect of it. And
the Rotties, man. I used to have one.
And like Pedro said, this movie gets dark because that scene when he finds the grave, where they buried his son and finds out that his son never died, that they killed his son. And you can see where they bashed the baby in the head.
That's rough, this movie
gets dark. And you guys ever notice in that scene when the Rottweilers attack, there's like faces in the bushes watching?
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because I always wondered,
that's creepy.
Is that like on purpose or is that like one of those like movie bloopers where it was like maybe like the dog trainers or something watching, or
I don't know, man. That it kind of gave me goosebumps when you said it.
for this movie, whether it was an accident or not, it works.
Yes,
it's when the dogs are attacking.
Yeah, and when they're at the graveyard scene, it's like you know the bushes that are like by the gates.
All right. I'm trying to find that scene.
Gotta go look for that.
Right? Maybe it was David Warner's hairdresser looking for him.
He's going to come up.
We need to re-up on the hairspray.
Oh, But yeah, this is an iconic movie. I am, now that Nez is talking about it, I am interested in going back and watching the sequels, because I think Nez, you do The Omen 2 last year for 31 days?
I think I did.
Yeah, I think that's when I rewatched that one, and I haven't seen any of the other ones. I don't even remember if I even seen the Omen remake, honestly.
Yeah, The Omen 2 is also a classic, and its primary objective is to top the kills of this one, and I'll just leave it at that. So it also has some insane fucking kills.
It's like, but it did that. The second one didn't go into much more because we already know who Damien was. That was the film where Damien found out who he was. So I don't want to get into that. Well, we'll be here on that. We'll roll into that one. But yeah, I mean, the kills were awesome. Yeah, like you said, Pedro, they were trying to outdo what they did in this first one. Oh shit, there is faces in the bushes. God damn.
Yeah, okay. Do they look like they're purposely there, or do you think it's like production crew?
I don't know. I think they might just
for to the, make sure the scare the factor. Don't like eat this guy.
I was going to say, with today's technology, I feel like Richard Donner would have taken them out with, you know, just, they weren't supposed to be there.
But see, they now that I'm thinking of it, they wouldn't be the dog trainers, because they're not, they wouldn't be in position if something went wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
They probably were meant to be there.
Unless you had a bunch of dog trainers.
Or it's demons.
All right, I don't know. Pass it over to Lance.
Lance, what you think?
Yeah, this is a good movie. I'm trying to think if was this in an alternate universe, or am I remembering a different movie that was a parody of this? But I thought he dressed up like Angus Young or something, like a schoolboy. am I thinking of a different movie? Help me out here, somebody.
No, he did look like Angus Young. He was wearing that outfit. Yes,
that was at the end of the movie.
Oh, okay.
He's on the highway to hell.
I guess I blinked and missed it.
It was the last scene in the movie.
Okay, well.
When he turns and looks at the camera.
Yeah, I caught that in the freeze frame. That's true. All right.
They just, they were probably just publicity shots from the film.
He just didn't do a leg kick.
Probably so.
Lance, were you expecting him to have a guitar and do a leg kick and the whole thing, or what?
I thought so.
Spinning around on the floor, playing the guitar.
Yeah, this was definitely a fun movie. It's a good watch. You guys have said everything, you know, worth saying. It's a good way that it starts at the hospital. And then, there are some things that the new movie tries to kind of like echo in certain scenes, and none of them tend to work as well in the new movie.
Yeah, well, they also wreck on a lot of stuff too, which we'll get into.
Yeah, we're gonna have to. There's not. I don't need to say a lot more about this one. I think we're all in agreement that this was well done.
Is there anything that caught your eye this time rewatching it? That
you mean versus the last time we reviewed it? No.
Yeah.
Did you see this in the theater?
Did this movie?
I didn't. No, I didn't see it in the theater. I think I saw the final conflict first. Like, somehow I missed these. These were off my radar when I was a kid.
The Omen movies?
Yeah, yeah. I was told I couldn't watch them or something. I'm trying to remember. But I saw the final conflict first, and I'm like, okay, cool. Let me go back and see how this kid got started. Does he wear that school costume in the whole second movie? Or?
No, he's
this
a
is
teenager.
Blowing my mind right
he's a military
now.
School.
He's a teenager.
Military school. Okay.
I don't know that I've ever seen the sequels.
I don't know if I've seen
the sequels. Phil, you at least watch the second one.
Yeah, watch the second one.
I don't know that conflict. I have. I don't know that I've seen them.
No, you should. Yeah, you should watch.
Doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
Watch the second one. The third one, Final Conflict. Yeah, you can live without it.
Lance, so I think you're also thinking of the Children of the Corn kids, because they also tend to wear
probably
those kind of little outfits as well.
It's right. The stupid hat that get you.
nothing's more fun to watch than an evil kid, right? You know, I mean, we deal with this shit in real life, and now we get to deal with it in the movies, too. Goddamn. Yeah, it's evil kids are great, man. Awesome subgenre. And is this the one that started it all, or was there some before this that you guys can trace back prior to The Omen?
As far as, like, I guess, evil kid?
Well, yeah,
it was like the bad, it was like the bad seed.
Back in the 50s. Yeah, that's little, right.
Well, yeah, the bad seed stuff. But this
the
is
kids
like,
in the Village of the Damned. The black
that's
and
the one
lion.
I'm thinking of with the weird eyes. Yeah, Village of the Damned.
Now, one of the things here is that they do give Robert Thorne, they tell him how to kill Damien. And to me, it was like, God damn, because it's not just, you don't just shank him once. You have to shank him six times with six different knives. And I'm like, what the fuck, man?
See, that's why I didn't like the final conflict ending. Spoiler alert, everyone. When Damien gets killed.
Yeah.
The lady just stabs him in the back, like just a little bit. It's not like she jammed the whole thing all the way through him. She like just stabbed him once and then pulled it out. And then he just fell over and the movie was over.
Maybe he wasn't really dead. Maybe he wasn't really dead. It's open interpretation.
Oh, no.
Because, yeah, if you got to shank your own son
six times with six different knives,
that's a fucking problem.
And the other thing I had about the final conflict is they were saying in this one, it had to be his dad to kill him.
Right.
Because of, and then that some, well, I can't remember what the chick wasn't. I don't think it was related to him. It just stabbed him and he just fell over.
He had to be like on the altar too.
Well, he fell over onto an altar at the end, but
okay. So
he didn't have it. He didn't have it in him.
Yeah, I saw they were next to the altar, and I guess that's good enough.
Close enough.
So I don't know. That's why I didn't care for Final Conflict. I was disappointed.
Oh well.
Damien played dirty though with that "no, daddy, don't."
Oh, yeah.
That was rough. After all the times I've seen it, that's still a rough watch.
I can imagine. Evil. Yeah, it's intense. It's an intense movie.
Because he wasn't going to do it at first. Because he was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I won't do it. That's when he threw the knives before Jennings got his head cut off. Because he was like, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. And then
there it goes.
Because I liked in the remake, he didn't get hit with glass. He got hit with those little metal things on the side of the building. It got knocked loose and then took his head off.
Yeah, who was it in the remake? It was also another famous actor, right?
Oh, yeah, I was thinking that too. It was
the reporter? It wasn't Damien. Was it the
David
kid?
David
Dallas, okay.
Yeah, him.
When was
he's a character actor.
Seen that one.
Yeah, he's a character actor.
Wasn't he in the Harry Potter movies?
He might have been. So.
Wasn't he the werewolf in Harry Potter?
I thought he was like the drunk uncle or something.
Julia Remus Stiles isn't the remake. What happened to her career?
Remus Lupin. Just remember Last Dance.
But the remake was relatively recent, right?
No, I was
2006.
Okay.
In your aging brain, it is, Philip.
That's relatively recent to me.
20 years ago? Damn.
Relativity. Relativity.
I know I've seen it. I just don't remember it. This one, on the other hand, is a classic. It is almost up there with The Exorcist for me.
Damn.
Yeah, dude, it's a really good movie. Like, even without seeing the graphic kills, which hit in a way that kills in movies didn't hit in that age. You know what I mean? And even without those, the whole premise of the thing was creepy as hell. And it worked through the whole thing. A lot of it was the score. And a lot of it was that crazy ass kid, which, you know, they definitely cast correctly. So I can't complain about that. But yeah, man, they did a really good job with this one. And it's one of the all time horror classics. Like,
wow.
It is. You think about like what movies are. Horror, you have to watch these movies, right? You got like The Exorcist, Evil Dead, The Omen,
Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th.
Well, right. Halloween. But then you're getting into like slasher movies.
No, which, this is definitely a classic. I don't know. What is Lance trying to argue here?
I know.
Because nothing would surprise me to Lance anymore.
This conference of titles.
This is a staple of scariest movies ever.
Yes, legit scary. Not like, like a lot of these slasher films, people scares. There to laugh with them, you know? Not this movie.
Right.
This is no Blumhouse picture, is it, Pedro?
Yeah.
No,
this is Lance, no Night Swim.
Lance, where are you going with that?
bringing up different classic horror movies, helping fill out the list.
Well, I don't even know if those fall in the same category as this, you know. Okay. It was a fantastic movie, and I'm not gonna give it a 10, but god damn it, it's pretty fucking close. It was a good movie.
Okay, wonderful.
Creepy as hell. I like it.
Pedro went 8. Pedro went 8 on 10.
Did he? Or do you remember that from the last time or what?
No. I said it right now.
You already said it.
My rating before I was supposed to.
All right, yeah, let's go. All right, Pedro said 8.
8 on 10.
Ness?
10.
10. Hella good.
Let's call that one.
Official. This movie's hella good. I love it.
Brian?
8.5.
8.5. Lance?
It's 8. 8 on 10.
Ooh. Hey, that's really fucking good for you.
It would have been 9, but he deducted a point because the kid wasn't in that pilgrim outfit any longer than I thought he was.
Exactly.
I'm going to give it a 9.25.
Damn.
All right. I think it is a horror classic. If you want to watch horror movies, this is one that you have to watch. It's on the list.
Okay. Oh, this is like right up your alley anyways.
Well, yeah, that too. I like those religious horror movies. Matter of fact, when we get into the new one, I've got some end of the world antichrist theories to share.
Oh, nice. So that'll be fun. That kind of shit, dude. Yes.
All right. On to the new one. Let me pull my shit up here. The First Omen.
What does any of this have to do with Carlita?
His church has maintained power for thousands of years. Lady will stop at nothing to keep it that way. How do you control people who no longer believe? You create something to fear. I believe the girl is to be the mother.
Mother of what?
It's the mark of the devil.
It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real.
What's not real?
Who said that?
This,
which is not,
this is very real.
What I meant
the
when I said
the First Omen movie?
Yeah, the first, no, the First Omen, the one, the new one. From
2024.
A young American woman is sent to Rome to begin a life of service to the church, but encounters a darkness that causes her to question her faith and uncovers a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate. Director is Arkasha Stevenson, also known for the TV show Legion, and brand new cherry flavor. Right. Writers are Tim Smith, Keith Thomas, and Arkasha Stevenson. The First Omen was nearly given an NC-17 rating, largely for the disturbing birthing sequence. Well, that makes sense. But after resubmitting the film in the MPA 4 times, with the problematic scene still included, with every resubmission, the MPA eventually relented when it was cut down from its original 13 seconds to its final form, receiving an R rating.
It doesn't make any sense. Half the time, these fucking old geezers don't even know what the fuck they're doing. MPAA. They should submit the same film exactly the same again, and yeah, they'll get a lower rating because it sometimes like an ego thing, right? It's like, yeah, we have control over your mm-hmm. film, so we're gonna dictate how you have to rate it or whatever. And it's just a big game. So thankfully they got this through, and you know, we'll talk about it right now.
All right, Pedro, what do you think about the First Omen?
All right, so first of all, I enjoyed the film, but I could see it had problems. So this is not a hill I'm gonna die on, okay? I'm not gonna be a defender of the film. However, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very gritty and dark for the times. Like, it's hard to get these kind of films in theaters nowadays. So I was very thankful for that. Like, again, we talked about earlier, like, this is not an IP that, like, it is a sequel, but it's a very, like, rated R mm-hmm. sequel, which I like, you know? But some of the plot points were a little weird, because Father Brennan...
a little.
and this is not spoilers, because we already talked about the first, or the original Omen. It's going to get weird. The original Omen, Father Brennan in that movie comes off as a Satanist who's still part of the conspiracy. Right. In this movie, he turns up being to be the good guy who's trying to help. What's the lead girl's name? Margaret. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's a little confusing because in the original one, Gregory Peck kicks him out of his office when he's trying to warn him about the what's happening, and in this one, he's trying to help out Margaret. So he kind of rebels against the conspiracy with the church in this movie. So he's essentially a good guy here. He's not a good guy in the original Omen. Now, there's other things that bothered me. They also change, and again, these are not spoilers. This is a spoiler, so maybe I shouldn't get into this yet.
Is it big time, though, or just kind of a little
Well, it's how the Antichrist came to be.
It's different. I know what you're talking about.
It's different than it was presented in the original Omen.
True.
They changed the sex.
That's a spoiler.
Okay, so I won't get into it. But no, I thought it was good. I thought it was, the acting was decent. I think we all have Immaculate and fresh in our brains still, and we're like, you know, comparing it to that just because it happens, right? We just watched it, but it's two different movies. I thought they were both very atmospheric. I think they were both shot in Italy, by the way, so that's cool. But I will say, and when we get into spoilers, I'll get into more details. This one gets a little sillier, to the point where at the end I was like, come on, there's so many like things that could have been different. But I still had a good time with it. I especially at the end, you know, when you get those member berries and you know, it connects it to the original Omen.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. And this is a prequel, so it's not really a spoiler. And yeah, and then I also like one thing I appreciate about this film is that it left it open, even when we already have Damien's entire trajectory already laid out from part one, mm-hmm. two, and three, it did leave it open for a sequel, and I'm gonna get into why and how, and pretty interesting when we're in the spoilers section. So all in all, I really enjoyed this movie, but I could see it had a lot of problems. And if people didn't enjoy it, I could understand why. So that's where I'm at with this movie.
Principal photography took place in Rome.
Yeah, that's cool.
There you go.
Okay. Nez, what do you think?
I'll go last.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Brian.
I'm right there with Pedro. I really enjoyed this one. I do see the flaws in the movie. There was some story changes in there that they threw in. One thing that really stuck out to me, I really enjoyed the performances of the cast, especially all the actresses. I thought they were great. Yeah, I'm trying to dance around spoilers here. Yeah, I don't, gosh. I just kind of want to jump to spoilers.
Well, I mean, Brian, you're right. There's a lot that happens early on, right? That's like key integral parts of the story. So.
Well, and they kind of give a little bit of it away early on, but
I thought
there is no kids with a little pilgrim outfit. That is a spoiler. Yeah.
No, there's not.
In case people Mandela affect themselves into thinking there is.
Right.
I thought the opening scene was really great.
With, I loved it. I was marking out.
Was that Bill Nighy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The other
Oh, when you had Charles Dance in there with the
Charles Dance, that's who I was talking about. That's who I meant.
Oh, the stained glass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It really captured like the 70s exploitation film, huh? Like that.
They got it
pretty good.
Yeah,
it was very believable that this took place not too far but before the original movie. So yeah. Very believable. I thought the direction was good. What?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what'd you say?
I said, well.
Well, what?
They definitely did not have disco music out in 1971. All right? That I know. I'm old enough to know that shit. So
you were in the discotheque, Lance?
Yes. In
that was a weird scene
as Eurotrash. That was a super weird scene and super anachronistic. Like everything in there, the clothing, the music, absolutely nothing was 1971. That was late 70s.
What was the other movie that we watched where they took a nun to a nightclub?
Sounds like the beginning of a joke.
She wasn't a nun yet.
Oh, she wasn't?
She hadn't taken her vows yet.
Oh, was that like a flashback?
No,
that was before she took her vows, right?
See, we're getting into spoilers.
Yeah, we're
okay. All right, we'll get into it because I watched a shitty copy of this.
Lance, is the disco gonna be like your Kong getting his tooth changed?
Yes. Absolutely. No, the CGI fire scene. Well, am I going now?
Yeah.
I don't want to cut you off.
I keep dancing around. I was about to spoil another scene.
Okay. I'll start with that opening scene, the one you guys love so much. It did not fucking fit in with the movie for me. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Okay. I couldn't figure out, was that a time jump? Was that... What's going on here? Why are they have? And I thought Charles Dance, he's a great actor. I was excited to hear he was going to be a big member of the cast here. I'm like, what the fuck, really? And then they left it open where he could have shown up. But okay, so that's enough of the opening scene. I don't want to get into spoilers, but that's literally the opening scene. And yeah, early on, it really doesn't. You know, I don't think it's going to spoil the story to say that they went to a disco before they took their vows, and it was
disco.
They got an apparently. Oh, okay. Apparently, they got a hold of a time chicken from Ricky and Danny because that wasn't 1971. Okay. The part that took me out was the scene you guys referred to earlier that was like a pale imitation shadow of the way that the scene played out in the original 76 movie. And then on top of that, you got to throw fucking crappy CGI fire. That's when I slowly started walking away from this movie mentally.
All right, but what does fire look like when it sets everything?
Let's find out. The Saska sisters, remember, they said they use real fire.
Well, I know, but like,
what's that career at?
Fire doesn't. Not in the Festival of the Living Dead.
That's a bad example, Lance.
Okay. All right, bad example. Rewind.
When Jason is walking with the machete in the cornfield in Freddy versus Jason, that looks pretty badass.
Yeah, very.
That was
badass.
Real, wasn't it?
And that's the guy that took Kane Hodder's job, saying "fuck it, set me on fire and let's do it."
Right. That's the way it should be done. But this was pre-pussification of America, Pedro.
I can't believe you remember that term. Don't mind.
How can you forget? All right, I don't want to say anymore. I'm going to start spoiling the hell out of this movie.
Well, did you like anything about the movie?
I did. I thought it was masterfully filmed. I thought it was
Lily or whatever.
Well, you could have let off that instead of the disco didn't happen at the right part of the decade.
Dude, we can't all be circle jerking around.
That song didn't come out until
1973. Nerd. Okay.
Maybe they found an underground club in Italy that was ahead of the curve, you know?
Sure. Yeah,
because all these trends, they have to start somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know what I don't know what Italy's disco scene looked like in the 70s.
Yeah, maybe we're always 10. Maybe the Americans are always 10 years behind the Italians. We don't know that.
Sure. I think that's highly likely, actually.
Punk was big over there before it got to us.
See? Yeah,
true. True. Especially in the UK. Not according to Lanzo.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that started in the UK.
Anyway. All right. Yeah. No, I thought it was okay. Look, beautifully filmed. They did a great job of making it look like the 70s. But like I said, then they had the anachronisms there that took me out of it. Maybe if I'm fucking so get off my lawn right now, aren't I? Like totally showing my age here. Yeah.
You know what? I hate Terminator Part 1 now because when they go into the discotheque,
right?
That was like 5 years after it already had died. And yeah, the Terminator's
you're
trying
right.
to
kill, you're right.
The that Terminator's was a disco trying to kill in the this first
rock. Movie. Hey, you never been disco. To a dollar theater?
That was just 80s rock and roll.
All right.
Not the way they were dancing in that
oh,
movie.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, yes, like Brian said, the acting was definitely good, although they did kind of, to me, they kind of telegraphed some.
Should we do that one, Brian? All
right. Yeah, they did.
I think they telegraphed some stuff that you probably shouldn't have known that person was going to end up being evil or whatever. The story itself, for me, was so incredibly convoluted. I'm just really torn on this. Like, again, I mean, it was, I don't hate that I went to see it at the theater, but I just.
You know what
I guess think? I was, my expectations were high.
You know what I think? I think you are comparing it to Immaculate too much.
I think I am. And the devil conspiracy, Pedro. The
See,
devil conspiracy.
And I still am super excited about watching both of those. And I
but the, it's like Pedro said, they're two different movies.
Yeah.
But well, how about the devil conspiracy? That was kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that movie.
With taking the DNA from the Shroud of Turin.
So are you comparing it to the devil conspiracy?
Yes, I am.
So this movie should be. The score should be amazing when I hear your score.
We'll get there. Are we ready? We ready for scores? Swim.
All right. The First Omen. I thought everybody in it was good. They did their parts.
Mm-hmm.
That Maria Caballero chick. I thought she was pretty hot. Those thick eyebrows. the main girl, Margaret, I thought she was cute.
Is that the friend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when they got all dressed,
he'll turn later on, but we'll get
to it. When she got all dressed up and they went to the discotheque.
Oh, the one that was knocking down the shots? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
The bad one.
I was like, you're really dressing like a nun now.
Did they really do that white? Well, never mind. We'll get into that. Sorry.
She was like, if I got to hide this body, I might as well enjoy it one last night. That was her line.
Before I have to hide.
Oh, yeah.
In a penguin costume.
So, but I liked what was going on. I thought the score was good. It did Jerry Goldsmith some justice when they did bring in some of his music he wrote, mainly towards the end. I didn't really care so much for the jump scares. This movie didn't need jump scares. The birthing scene that apparently was making people throw up in the theater, I'm like, have you guys not seen other movies? This was tame. This movie was pretty tame. But, I mean, I liked the story. I liked what was going on here. I liked what they were trying to do. But my big question to you guys, is this the beginning of a new story? Or does this film supposed to tie into the 76 film?
Both.
It's supposed to tie in. I mean, the ending is right there. We'll talk about it during spoilers, but there's a particular picture of a particular actor that it's obvious.
Oh, yeah.
It's supposed to tie into 1976.
Obvious. Well, and then they even go on to make it further obvious, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, but I think the end, it takes both directions.
But there is a thread that's never addressed in the previous Omen's movies that I thought was very clever because they could continue on with that plot point.
Yes.
Well, if this is supposed to tie into the original one, again, music, direction, acting, everything, cinematography was excellent. I loved everything about it. But when it got to the end, I walked out of the theater thinking this movie was fucking horseshit. because it did. Did they not see the original film at all? Because what they changed, I was like, oh, really? That's what you're gonna do? But that's what my question was. Are they restarting the story? And because if that's what they're doing, and they continue,
because they showed Gregory Peck's picture.
I was trying to dance around that.
Well, that's not a spoiler. I mean,
yes, it is.
Well, it's not anymore because you said it.
Because that would just like, oh my god! I was like, really? That's what you're gonna do? It was going good. I liked what was happening, and I was like, okay, I know where it ends up, but let me see how it ends up. And then they show us what happens, and I was like, because when I walked out of the theater, I was just like, fuck this bullshit. And everyone else was like, oh my god, this was awesome. It was like the best movie of the year. I was like, I don't know what you guys just watched, but all right.
I never talk when I come out of the movies out of respect for the people that are going in.
Good point.
I kept my mouth shut.
I
did
have some questions about the end.
My mouth was shut. I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. And I just walked out of the theater and immediately texted one of my boys, and because he's not going to see this. And I was like, I don't know what they're trying to do. So I was disappointed with the ending. I mean, I loved everything up to the reveal. And then I went, oh, so. But I mean, again, I mean, I loved what was going on. I thought all the acting in it was excellent. I mean, the story was right there. And I watch all these other reviewers on YouTube and all that, and they were all like praising this film. Oh, it's awesome. It's even better than the other film. I'm like, wow.
I don't know about that.
That's what I was saying. I was just like, that's what I'm like, are you going to continue this a different way? Are you giving us a new one? Or is this going to, I mean, obviously it does tie in. You already said it, but. So I don't know. I wasn't pleased with the way they ended it, because especially with Father Brennan, I went, really? And I was like, ah, but I don't know. That was it for me. I mean, again, I loved it up to the end.
All right. All right. Let's go scores first. Pedro.
I'm going to give it a 7 on 10.
7.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the acting was pretty solid, and so was the direction. So 7.
Makes sense. Lance?
I mean, I hate to do this again, but I got to go 5. I mean, for me, it's like it's like right in the middle.
So this movie is not as good as Night Swim.
No, because it's less original.
That was trash.
It's less original, and they couldn't keep the timeline straight.
What?
And like Nez said, that ending's
fuck
probably
out of here.
Not,
don't even that mention ending probably this shit not, in the same sentence as Night Swim.
Because you gave Night Swim a 6, right?
What? Yes. Correct. I would never forget that.
I own it.
As long as I live.
Nope, I'll never forget it either, because I'll never live it down, apparently. But
that's nothing compared to Children of the Corn remake.
Well, how much you give me
Pet Cemetery? Pet Cemetery?
He was all over its nuts hard.
That Pet Cemetery remake was top 10 for the year.
Damn, that's
right. Sure was. Sure was. But as far as this movie, 5 on 10. It's like a tale of two movies for me. Okay. It's just weird. Doesn't know what it is. What's the word for it? Pedro, you're in the mental health business. What's the word for it?
It's a very
bipolar.
Schizophrenic
it's
movie.
It's a bipolar schizophrenic.
Bipolar? That works too. I didn't know if there was discotheque or not.
This is something. All right. I'm going to go. I think 7 is a pretty fair score. That's a preliminary score. I'm going to have to watch it again. Because I want to watch it again.
You got so much out of it, though. Like, you should give it a 10 on 10.
I'm going to watch it again for sure when I can get a decent copy of it. And it may go up.
Yeah. Okay. It'll be on digital probably by end of the month.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
This is a Disney property, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's 20th Century Studios.
Oh.
That's Disney, isn't it?
They'll put it on Hulu.
Fucking Disney.
All right. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed what was going on up to the end. So I'll go up a little notch higher than Lance. I'll give it a 6.
A 6.
Not bad.
77765.
Okay. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned.
All right, spoilers. Let's
all right. Let me go first here because there's a lot to talk about here. First of all, I agree with Ness. I think I know what Ness is upset about. So they changed the sex of the jackal. Originally,
okay,
it was a female jackal, right? That's what they tell us in the original Omen, that birthed Damien Thorne. Now in this one, yeah, you're right, Lance. The storyline is very convoluted because it was the daughter of Satan had to have sex or whatever, and mm-hmm. then that offspring was the Antichrist. However, Satan came in the form of a male jackal, which we see at the end of the movie burning. So that's a big change from the original movie.
So wait, was she the daughter of Satan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, one of the weaknesses of this film is the way they present the story. It's very convoluted.
Yeah.
It doesn't even really make sense. So
originally, she was a ward of the church, right? Her whole life.
Yes. Yeah. And so what happened was that Satan was trying to have a male offspring for the longest, and he couldn't. For whatever reason, he couldn't. It was a bunch of females. And later on,
because you got to get in the back for the males. Just saying.
So, what the fuck?
So, you got to hit them in the back. That's where you get them.
The red heifer.
The red heifers. So what they ended up coming up with this scheme. The church got together, which in itself is a whole fucking mess of a story. They got together and they were like, well, more people are leaving the church and the beliefs of the church. Like the church, the motivation of all this was because the church felt like there was people losing interest in the belief system of the church. So if they bring out the Antichrist, it would bring everybody back, which is the most stupidest fucking mustache trolling reason to do all this.
Which is exactly what's happening Bond with villain. This red heifer shit, because I'm telling you, there's like some super Christian groups that are helping man. These people do it.
So here's
bring
my thinking.
Across the Antichrist so that Christ can come okay. back. I'm telling
so
you.
So here's my thinking. So if that was the case, then you would see the church people kind of scared, even though they're succeeding in their conspiracy to, so they would be
yes,
good guys, right?
Because they know they're playing with fire, right?
They're playing with fire, so it would be like, oh my God, yeah, we're bringing in the Antichrist so people could come back and believe in God, which is the whole point, but now the Antichrist is loose. But that's not what happens. They don't even follow their own rules because they're all like, okay. like pulling their thumbs. Yeah, we're going to do this. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's people in the church that were Satanists the whole time that are making us believe they're doing this good.
Right.
But they're actually okay. who believe that Satan is going to be the all ruler. And they're just using the fact that people are leaving the church as an excuse to do this within the church. So he's all fucked up. All right. So that once I heard that, I was like, this is just fucking stupid. There was this once, and then the whole switching the sex of the jackal. I don't know why they did that. If they wouldn't have done that, I guess for the end scene, or I guess
that's just dumb.
Maybe because they couldn't show like a jackal having a baby. I don't know what the fuck, but they switched it to they needed like a human carrier, and that's why.
Listen, this gonna be way easier if we go this route.
Yes.
Right.
Now, okay, so that's that, right? They fucked up the motivation is all fucked up because it doesn't make any sense. The way they deliver this baby, it contradicts what's already said in the original Omen. And you can't even say, well, Father Brennan was wrong because he had bad information. No, because he's in it. He's right there. Like, it's not, you cannot retcon by saying that Father Brennan didn't have the correct information because he experienced it. So that they fucked themselves there. It's hard to make sense of that. And then as far as scenes, like remember when Margaret's about to give birth and her stomach like inflates like in seconds, but before that she's like starts like juking and jiving and like doing the robot and shit. That went on way too long. Like it was like I was like, yo, like I could feel the tension in my theaters, not because they were worried, scared, not because they were invested in the story. They were like, yo, what's up with this fucking scene? Like it literally went on for like a minute. You guys remember that scene? It went on forever.
She's going into dance mode.
Yes. And then, like, she's fucking doing the robot, like that girl in Friday the 13th Part 5 before Jason kills her and shit. And then they introduce these two guys, right? One of them is Father Brennan, and the other one is this young priest who literally has no purpose in the fucking movie. None. You could have edited him out.
Oh, Gabriel, was that his name?
He came out of nowhere.
He looked like one of the lead Unsullied from Game of Thrones. That's what he reminded me of.
I thought that too.
Big worm. Sure enough,
none of them could use their dicks, so they did that. They did have that in common. So so you introduce this priest, this young guy, who like literally his only purpose there is to take Margaret away from the orphanage. That's literally his only purpose.
Right.
And then he just dies in a random automobile accident.
He's the MacGuffin. He's the MacGuffin.
Yes. Well, yeah. He's worse than the old lady in Imaginary who literally came to tell us all the rules and then gets sucked up into the roof and we never see her again.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that. You know what, Lance? I think I'm on your side now that I'm thinking about all this
Uh-oh.
Shit. No, but I thought the end, I mean, Lance, I don't know, the ending worked for me, although I understand why you're upset. I get it. It's kind of hard to make sense of this, connecting it to the original. But I did like that they show the jackal dying, right? Because you needed to show that because they show him in the cemetery in the original. And
his mom in the original. That's what they said. What they said in the book, too.
Yes, it wasn't his dad. It was his mom. So those are my problems with it. Then they invest a lot of time in Maria Caborello's character, which is fine. I mean, she's, you know, nice on the eyes.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
But then she vanishes for the longest. Yeah, she vanishes for the longest. And then she comes back as a, when she takes her vows, which I guess that's supposed to be kind of like your passage to becoming like a quote unquote Satanist. And then all of a sudden she's like a bad
right?
Huh? And then I guess my last question is, where the fuck are all these people in the original Omen? Like, shouldn't they be trying to like, none of them are ever heard from again. Right. I know that a lot of them
died. They did their part.
Well, yeah, because the whole organization of this movie is like that they're not Satanists. They're Christians that are trying to bring about the Antichrist so that they can bring Jesus back, right?
Yes, but that's my point. They are Satanists because they're way too happy to be doing that. They're never concerned that they're playing with fire. They're just happy that the son of Satan is coming here. So they are Satanists.
They're like, let's just fucking murder people.
That was the organization of them. If you watch the TV show, they went into more of that.
Oh, because, okay. They did more world building in that, huh?
Yeah, because that TV series erased the Damien in the final conflict. But they're like Mrs. Baylock, where she came from. That she was one of them. And that's what this is. What they were. I don't know if it was the beginning of this.
Oh, I never saw the TV show.
Protect the Antichrist. Which was also guy. A show. Because that's what they were doing. So I mean, I was like, really? I mean, you fed this to me for how many years since 76, and now you're gonna come in 2024 and change it on me?
Almost I was 50 like, years no. Later.
I was like, no. I just didn't agree with it. I mean, and just reminded me of they ripped off Rosemary's Baby when the demon was banging her at the end. I was like, oh, really?
That was straight up Rosemary's Baby. You're right.
And I was mad. Charles Dance. I love him. Everything he pops up in, he's only in there for like 2 seconds, and then they kill him. I was like, weak. Yeah. That just kind of reminded me of Father Brennan's death when he was standing out in front of that church and he got impaled. But in the remake, he got impaled as well as the glass hitting him.
Yeah,
in the
face. That's supposed to be a wink-wink because Father Brennan is right there in the first scene of the first
one. Yeah, of course. There were a lot of wink-winks.
Now, Father Brennan's character is a whole different character.
Yeah.
Because here he's a good guy trying to help Margaret get away. But in the original Omen, he was part of the conspiracy. So, like, I don't understand that. That's the thing that kind of tripped me out a little bit. Go ahead.
Because they were saying that all the ones that were born with the number of the beast on them were the ones because they were trying to basically do what they were doing in Alien Resurrection, trying to reproduce Ripley. I mean, because when they go down in the basement and you see all these, or no, there's the pictures. When she finds all the pictures of the ones that died that were all deformed and everything.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's Alien Resurrection. And then, because they were saying that they were all female, but I was like, well, if you're going to go with the original story, Father Brennan was one of those dudes. He had the Mark of the Beast on him. And so did that Apollo dude. Because he was the one right before he got hit by that truck or whatever. He told Margaret, he was like, look in the hair. Because he had the Mark of the Beast too. And then I'm like, well, you had two males. Why couldn't you get them to do it if that's what you were looking for? But I don't know. I was like, okay. But I don't know. I just did not buy the ending. And Father Brennan in the original, in the first one, he said he was there and he saw Damien's mother. And I was like, wait a minute.
Well, that's a good point.
I was like, I mean, that's why I just left the theater, man.
He's a liar, like Yoda with Luke.
Well, he was there when that happened, but I was just mad like that they changed it. I mean, those were probably the main two things: the Father Brennan stuff and the Damien not being born of a jackal. And then if you're gonna, that's why I asked if they were gonna restart this thing. But then you brought up I remember them showing a picture of Gregory Peck.
Yeah, because they're going to the hospital to kill his baby and give him Damien.
And I mean, it's not unheard of to change the story to make it more scary or whatever.
The other ones were scary enough. Nah, I'm not buying that. That's why I was so mad.
You're
I was
not
like,
selling him, Philip.
I was like, hell no. But I loved everything up to that point.
Well, I'm just saying, if this was like the actual story that happened, and then they just
Brennan was lame.
No. Yeah, see, that's where it doesn't make sense, because the narrator in the original Omen was reliable, because it was Father Brennan. Why would he lie to Robert Thorne? But now all
maybe,
of a sudden...
Maybe what he saw is not what he really seen.
But he wasn't even there when when Damien was born.
Well, I mean, what Brian just said makes more sense than anything I've heard yet.
But it's like something to make it appear more menacing than it actually is.
Nah, it was fine the way it was.
Ness ain't gonna take
any of this. No, I'm not. I mean,
all right, what about
you can offer me millions of dollars. I'll say nope. That's not what happened.
Yeah.
Let me say this, Lance, really quick before we move on. So one of the cool things that I did like, a positive, is that they introduced this twin, right? The girl version of Damien.
Mm-hmm.
Now because that was clever, because there's nowhere to go with Damien, because all his story has already been laid out in the sequels.
And told. Sure.
And that's where I have questions.
So with this twin, if you wanted to make a sequel to the first Omen, obviously you can't touch Damien because he already has his movies. Yeah. But you could maybe have this cult or this whatever they are, Satanists, try to hunt down Margaret with the twin's daughter. So you could go that route. Because
she's still alive.
They're gonna go the Hannah. They're gonna go the Hannah route then, huh? They're out hiding her in the middle of the woods.
Yes. Well, that's what happens at the end of the movie anyway.
I'd rather see that.
So I thought that was pretty clever, because they left it open for a sequel from the first Omen. If you just focus on the twin daughter and all these fucking Satanists going after her, you know, and Damien doesn't even have to be in the movie.
Yeah, if they just go,
story with his parents.
Yeah, if they go with those two, the Margaret and the girl, that's fine. I'll be happy. I'll watch all those movies and enjoy them. But I just didn't like what they did, because how old was Damien in the first one?
He was a newborn.
Like no, when everything went haywire, when he was standing in his little Angus Young suit, five, six, maybe. This was still a few years before that, because in the original one, if you guys remember, other than Father Brennan having the Mark of the Beast, he was dying anyway because he had cancer. They said his body was riddled with cancer, so he was dying. He was going to die regardless.
So he was headed out. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
One of the things that always bothered me about the original Omen is that David Warner has all these fucking pictures that he couldn't have possibly taken. Like remember in Friday the 13th Part 5 when the ambulance driver has a picture of Jason, and like how the fuck who took that? Nobody could ever take that picture of Jason. It's the same thing here. Like he's got this perfect picture of Father Brennan fucking impaled with that pole, like a selfie and shit. Okay. I'm like, you couldn't get that picture, bro. What the fuck? And then he also has like autopsy photos. Like, he's just a photographer. Like, it's like his hobby. He doesn't have any connections to the coroner or anything like that. So anyways, that was bullshit. But it's
different
funny
in the '70s.
Right. Well, look, that's enough of this.
Pre 9/11, you can go anywhere and do anything. So
yeah, you can smoke on the airplane.
Yeah,
we have to move along to some. Let's move along to some wrestling talk before we lie down. Is there any burning last
give minute? The rating for this movie?
Didn't we
do what?
We already gave the rating.
Yeah, we did
for the Red Heifer.
I guess it's a six.
Yeah, I give it a 7 on Santa.
I'm gonna watch it again.
I'm watching it again, not in the theater, but I'll watch it again. I just didn't like the changes they did at the end. When you fed me this shit for 50 years, and now you're gonna change? No, I can't. No, hell no.
All right, so going on. All right.
So much like the pay-per-view, the WWF pay-per-views of old, Lance is looking at the clock and saying, we're running out of satellite That's time right. here. So we better get up and get through these matches. All right. So, yes, my cool of the week, as was a lot of people's cool of the week this weekend, was just embedding yourself in a shitload of wrestling. And I'm not just talking about WWE, because there was a lot of wrestling this weekend. And it's like the weekend where it's like a complete celebration for professional wrestling, not just WWE, but the entire industry. I've been to a lot of these live, and they're always fun because you go to the conventions, you go to the independent shows, a lot of these other companies run shows, and then you top it off with the main course, which is WrestleMania, which is always cool. Lots of good stuff. It seems to me that now, like, wrestling is like really hot right now, like really popular, like Attitude Era popular, maybe even more. And so they actually have a direction, which is cool. They have, out of this weekend, you could book like another year worth of matches and get to next WrestleMania easy, you know? So I'm excited for that. And it was a good weekend to just, I think this is the best WrestleMania of all time, legit. I don't know if Brian and Ness agree with me, but I thought it was the best one ever.
I would have to really think about it to see if it is the best one ever, but it's been one of the best in a long time.
Yeah, there's I mean, 17 has grown into like this mythical proportions. Like, it'll never be beat. 17 had Austin and The Rock. It had Benoit and Angle. It had Undertaker and Triple H. It had Vince versus Shane McMahon. That WrestleMania has gotten into the lore as the greatest of all time, and it was at the Astrodome, which was a big deal at the time. And there's been other good ones, like 10 was really good, 19, 31, you know, all these. But to me, this one, obviously, from like a financial perspective, it was the best one ever because they broke all those records.
What were the big matches in this one?
This one had Cody versus, well, it had two of them. It had the tag, night one was the tag match with The Rock, which already, you know, if The Rock's involved, it's going to attract all kinds of other media, right? And it had The Rock teaming with Roman Reigns, which is his cousin, against Cody and Seth Rollins, which Cody's like...
Is it really his cousin?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Okay. No, it is his cousin. Line.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all these Samoans, they're all cousins. So, yes. except for Samoa Joe. They don't welcome him to the family for some reason. So, anyways.
They put a curse on his family a long time ago.
So The Rock comes back. Now, it's interesting how this happened, because originally it was supposed to be Cody versus Roman, right? They had been building that match for a year, since last year in LA when Cody lost, and everybody thought that was a big deal because they were like, there's no way this guy could stay as popular as he is. He just lost. He's a choke artist. But lo and behold, he was even bigger a year later as he's trying to fucking climb this Mount Everest and finally get the brass ring. So he does that, right? But around January, The Rock comes around, and The Rock's like, I want to wrestle Roman Reigns. Now, behind the scenes, politically, and tomorrow there's actually a documentary that's going to drop on YouTube that every wrestling fan should watch, because they're going to get into details about this. So The Rock is like, you know what? I'm just going to wrestle Roman, because I'm The Rock. I'm in the board of directors now. I damn near run this place. I'm going to wrestle.
Final boss.
Yeah, I'm going to wrestle Roman Reigns. So after, think about it like this. The wrestling fans had stayed with Cody all the way through the buildup, right? The hero's journey. He falls, he gets up, he falls, he gets up. He wins the Royal Rumble, which allows him the right to go to WrestleMania and challenge for the title. All of a sudden, on a random SmackDown, which made no sense to anyone, Cody just comes out and says, I give you the right to challenge Roman at WrestleMania. Now, nobody at that time understood the backlash that was going to have. Because The Rock felt like he's beloved, right? He's The Rock. But no, it's like there was this big uproar online. Like, everybody started, like, they had those fucking hashtags. We want Cody, whatever.
The Cody crybabies?
No, that was later. So The Rock, so they were just going to say, fuck it. Because they've done that in the past. They did it with Daniel Bryan when he was really popular in about 10 years ago. WWE is like, you're not going to dictate our storylines. You're going to eat whatever we feed you. That's always been a lot of their mentality. But The Rock goes up to Triple H, and this is all going on behind the scenes, and he's like, no, you know what? I think I want to be a heel in this run. Because there's a big uproar. I want to embrace that heel. So then they switch. So then in the middle of this buildup, they introduce Seth Rollins into the match because he had nothing to do because he was supposed to wrestle CM Punk at WrestleMania, but he got hurt. So CM Punk blows out his arm or some shit. So all of a sudden it's Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes and against Roman Reigns and The Rock. Now, it gets a little muddy because you have to retcon the fact that Cody just gave him the shot. He gave The Rock the shot. But somehow they went to Vegas and they had this press conference. And then The Rock started talking shit about Cody's family or vice versa. I forget. And then The Rock slaps Cody and all of a sudden that's your build. So all of a sudden, as this is happening, the arena ticket sales are getting out of control. There's sellout after sellout after sellout. And you start to see these guys on like the Tonight Show. It's becoming a thing, right? This bubble is getting bigger and bigger. As this whole time is happening, Vince McMahon gets caught being a fucking perv and just being a horrible human being.
What did he do?
He was shitting on girls.
Yes. So he was. They want to get him for like sex trafficking. So he had this girl that he was dating, or quote unquote dating, and well, you could say she was, you know, it was voluntary. But then he started really abusing her and manipulating her to the point where he was passing her around to other people for favors, you know. Oh. And there's text messages that prove this. So he's fucked regardless. And then it gets very dark because these text messages, there's a lot of like racist talks on there. There's a lot of like Nez was saying. He shits on her head while they're having sex. Like, it's bad. It's horrible.
Was JBL involved in all that?
No.
Probably.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the guy personally, but there's nothing. The only one that came out was Brock Lesnar because Vince offered
Who's the one guy that I think he's named too?
Nick Khan?
No, the guy that was that's close to Vince, that used to be general manager.
Oh, John Laurinaitis.
Yeah.
Okay,
he's named.
Okay, so this is where it gets very disgusting and just very sick, okay? So there is proof that John Laurinaitis sexually abused this girl in Vince's office, and Vince knew. It was just a game that they were playing with this poor girl. So it's all logged on the text messages. So the TKO fires Vince. Vince is gone forever. And that's the reason why you're hearing this new era, Triple H era, because they want you to think, I mean, it is his era. He's now in charge, but they also want you to get that Vince McMahon stank out of your mouth and move on. That's why they're doing all this.
Well, but he still owns it, correct?
No, he doesn't.
He got kicked out, right?
Yeah, he merged it with TKO. So TKO, TKO is spawned from a company called Endeavor, which is owned by Ari Emanuel, who owned UFC. And they merged with the WWE, and they created a new company called TKO, which is UFC and WWE. And Vince ended up agreeing to be on the board of directors, but he was no longer the shot caller. Ari Emanuel is a shot caller. So once this whole thing came out, they fired him. They didn't really fire him. They just released him. He's no longer. And right now he's selling all his stock. So he's pretty much cashing out. So he's done. He's still a billionaire though. Don't get me wrong. All the stock is worth a lot of money. And so now he's going to go to trial. So we'll see what happens with Vince McMahon. He could either go to prison or who knows, You know, these fucking rich guys tends to get off with a lot of shit. So, yep. So this whole buildup, just it all just fucking the big buildup ended this past weekend, April 6th, April 7th. And it was kind of a big deal. And the show delivered. Cody Rhodes finally dethroned Roman Reigns, who was the world champion for 4 years since 2020. And Cody Rhodes had this entire storyline of him trying to finish his story because his dad, the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, never won the world title, even though he did beat superstar Billy Graham once at Madison Square Garden, but they took the title away from him on a technicality. Cody wanted to do what his dad couldn't, and that was his story. And the reason he came back to the WWE was to finish that story, and that was the whole thing that was going on for the last 2 years. And finally, at WrestleMania Night 2, he does it, and it became a big deal. So wrestling feels hot right now. And there's other drama going on with, like, CM Punk that I'm not going to get into. But there's a lot of shit going on with wrestling right now. And so that was my cool of the week. It was a fun time to be a fan. I probably watched, like 20 shows in, like, fucking, like, 5 days. From Ring of Honor to Bloodsport, AEW, WWE. There was a lot of shit going on. So, yeah. That was awesome.
Remember, Pedro, when I asked you, this was before CM Punk came out, I asked you, would Punk come back to WWE, and you said no?
Yes. Well, that was a surprise for everyone.
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean how did you feel when his music hit?
I mean, I've never been a big fan of the guy, but it was fun. I mean, it was exciting. It was new. You never thought you were going to see it again just because CM Punk left on such bad terms from the WWE back in 2014. But CM Punk also left on bad terms with Tony Khan, who owns AEW. So, I don't know. I mean, hopefully now, it seems like CM Punk just likes to be surrounded around drama. He loves drama, and he creates it. And then he very, at times, like, in a very cowardly way, just like, well, that wasn't my fault. But then you have this history of every time you start shit, and then you just blame everyone else, you know, like eventually you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, well, how am I contributing to all this shit? Not that everything's been his fault, but now lately he went on Ariel Helwani's show and he buried Tony Khan, saying Tony Khan doesn't know how to be a boss, which has been a criticism for a long time of Tony Khan. And now Tony Khan on tomorrow, Wednesday's show, he's going to show the footage that got him fired, which is like a backstage brawl with Jack Perry, the Jungle Boy. Which is Luke Perry's son, by the way.
Oh.
was that MMA hour?
MMA hour with Ariel Helwani.
Okay, yeah, I listened to that. I think I got a few more minutes. But yeah, he went on there and just, he was talking hella shit.
So but there was a lot of stuff. That was another cloud that was all over WrestleMania weekend. People were talking about all that shit as well.
Because he was saying there was a lot of stuff he couldn't talk about because of the court stuff. But
yeah, the NDA. They signed an NDA and everything. But there's stuff that he did talk about. Because he said that he never punched out Jack Perry. He said, according to him, he just choked him a little bit, whatever that means. And then now they're going to release the footage, the backstage footage of what really happened. So I'm thinking that the only reason they're going to do that, well, first of all, is a ratings ploy, which is whatever. But second of all, I would like to think that it's going to contradict what Punk said, because then they wouldn't have shown it. So I think that's going to make Punk come off as a liar. Maybe he was very violent. Maybe there's a lot of things that we'll see in that footage that make him come off bad, you know? So we'll see.
Do you think it's going to be edited footage, or is it going to be?
I think really Tony Khan would take a lot of heat if it was edited. I think it's going to be legit. Now, how much he shows is, I don't know. Maybe he'll show a couple seconds, maybe all he said is that he's gonna show footage. He didn't say how long, he didn't say what, he just said a couple. But if it's doctored in any way, I think he'll take a lot of heat for that. So I don't think he's gonna do that.
Is this security footage or his cameras?
No, it's security footage.
Okay.
From Wembley when all that shit went down. Yeah. So that's gonna be interesting.
And what was your thoughts on Drew McIntyre having the belt for 5 minutes?
I think it gets him more over as a heel, which is what they want. I think Drew really played his cards right, and I think after all these changes, CM Punk getting hurt and no longer being able to wrestle Seth, all the switches with The Rock, heel, babyface, I think the biggest winner was Drew McIntyre, because going into the original WrestleMania plans, he didn't really have a direction. I think they were probably going to put him with Sami Zayn, because that was the match they were building up. Because remember, Gunther was going to originally wrestle Brock, and then Brock, they let him go because of the texting thing with Vince. So once Sami was put in Gunther and Brock's spot, that left Seth with no one. But then once CM Punk got hurt, they put him with Seth, and then he got the title. But I think once they announced that show in his hometown, which is, what is it, the Bra in the Castle or whatever they call that show, which is going to be in Scotland in a couple months, I think that's when he's going to get the real title run. So it just builds up anticipation for him. It builds up, and it's a good move for him, because it builds up, it gets him over as a heel because he's going to get to complain more, but it also just builds that anticipation for him to finally win the title at his hometown, you know?
Did you see that picture of his family flipping off the...
Yeah, I did, but I think that was all show. I think that guarantee you they went back in.
I mean, I felt for him. I mean, I was like, all right, cool. I like Drew McIntyre. I liked him when he was in the 3MB with that stupid shit. But but that's all I think of when I see him. I mean, but I'm glad that he's back. He went through a lot.
No, he's bad, and he's one of the best guys they have. I mean,
yeah, that's why I loved it, because I mean, he was there and he was kind of like, yeah, that's just Drew McIntyre, and you didn't really think much of him. But then even since he came back, revamped his look and got hella ripped. I mean, I love what he's doing now. I mean, Damian Priest, I totally forgot he had the Money in the Bank.
But that even gets him more popular, right? It gets him more over too, because now he's a big star. So it's all about trying to make the biggest stars out of everyone as you possibly can without hurting anyone. And I think Triple H is doing a good job of doing that.
Was Seth really hurt? Because he didn't look like he could barely walk.
Sunday. He's going to be gone for about a month. So he needs to rest up. It's not serious, but he is hurt.
Because he looked beat up. And then after the Shield stuff at the end, they had to help him up and get him out of there. And he legit looked like he couldn't walk.
No, I think he was really hurt. Yeah, he got through it. Because even the match with Seth was like a short match. It wasn't long.
Yeah, that one flew by.
But I like that, though, because he should have been hurt, because he had a match the night before. So it shouldn't have been this back and forth high spot. You know, it should have been what it was. It was perfect.
Yeah. I had fun with all of it. So, but listen.
Yeah, it was
good.
They didn't announce where they're going to be at next year, though.
That's what I was going to say. I thought it was Vegas.
I hear Vegas and Minneapolis.
Do they usually do that?
Yeah, they usually do it at the show before, so they should have announced it during WrestleMania.
Maybe it's going to be a big surprise.
Yeah, but people need to, this is like a vacation destination. They need about a year to plan all this shit out.
Like touring with a Grateful Dead, right?
Because
not before 1971, though, because they didn't exist yet.
That's right.
Because I saw articles it was Vegas, but I guess I prefer Vegas. Money. It's closer.
What are the chances you think it's going to be out of the country?
Here's the thing. Why would that's a lot of overhead of expense. Like, if you could draw the same or more money in the United States, you just stay in the United States, you know. But they also want the international countries to pay for the show. And like places like France, they're like, we don't have to pay. Our tourism's already pretty good. We don't need you guys. So they have like that disconnect right now, you know?
Right.
They want these countries to pay them to go put a show there, because they bring a lot of tourism to whenever they run shows. And a lot of these big countries, they're like, well, we already have tourism. It's not going to make that much of a difference. Except for Saudi Arabia, which pays them like $40 million per show. But that they've been doing that with all kinds of sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been hearing about the golf and all that.
Are we getting another Greatest Royal Rumble? We just had the one.
No, I think that was a one-time thing. And they just... And I'm glad, because they need to protect that gimmick. That match is always exciting because they don't abuse it. You get it once a year, and then you have to wait another year for another one. And that's why it stays over as a match. You know, like the steel cage match used to be a big deal, but you see it every Monday night. All of a sudden, not a big deal anymore. Whereas the Royal Rumble is like, wow, you know, you get it once a year and that's it. So you don't want to abuse it.
All right. Well, I knew you guys had to get some wrestling in. So, yeah. You guys, Nez, you got hella episodes coming out, I'll bet, right? You and Brian?
We put one out already. We got another one coming. And then go over to our Spotify, Eat Society Spotify feed. Taylor and I did a commentary for the ladder match that happened on Saturday night. So we ran through that. And just my grandsons were watching it, and they were wrestling. They had the little pillow wrestling ring right there. So you hear them throughout us the whole time. So, but they were in. They were all into it. They were watching wrestling and fighting each other. So. All
right.
Well, yeah, there was a couple. You guys, well, Lance, you're not in Texas anymore, but Dallas got a couple of them, pretty, like one almost right behind the other, because they got one in 2016, and they had another one in 2022. So that was pretty cool. They were at the Cowboy Stadium. And
there was something here in Tampa a couple of months ago, right?
Oh yeah, they're always in Florida. They're always in Florida, and they had a Tampa WrestleMania in 2021. I was there for that one. That was a big deal, because that was the first time they had come back after the pandemic. So they were like,
they were fans.
So they ran about a year and a half without no fans in the arenas, which was fucking awkward, but
that they got through it. Yeah, I remember that. That was weird.
Yeah. I mean, every sport did that, which was boring as fuck, because you need fans.
Sure.
But yeah, that WrestleMania in Tampa was the first one where they came back, so they made a big deal out of that. But but yeah, it's just they're gonna go. They go to all these like big cities, you know. So if they come to a city near you, you should check it out, because WrestleMania is special, man. It's a spectacle. Even if you don't really like wrestling, you're gonna get sucked into the atmosphere, which is fun.
Cool.
Are you a micro wrestling fan?
No.
Is that the midgets?
Little people.
So we had red heifers and midgets tonight. All right, we're gonna
okay. All right, on that note,
that sounds awesome.
We want to thank you guys for all listening to another episode of The Horror Returns. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas. Just don't shoot too much at Brian right now on Facebook, because he's got to edit.
Why do you keep saying my name? Like,
like he's the only one that runs that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can find us at thehorrorreturns.com. Email us at thehorrorreturns@gmail.com or go to any of our social media. Next week, we're going to continue our look into psychological horror. Do we have a guest next week, Brian?
It's your department.
Okay. We got Gone Girl and the Girl on the Train. So, Brian, until The Horror Returns again.